cheated and peeked a little bit at the comments, and I'm already giggling. Good evening. I'm your host, Jason Miles, and welcome to another episode of This is Revolution Podcast. If you are a returning listener or subscriber, so glad to have you back. If you're new to the channel, welcome. I hope you like what you see. If you do enjoy what you're seeing, please don't forget to hit like and subscribe on your way out. It is just me here tonight. No Pascal, no Toussaint. Pascal will be back Saturday morning, or morning for me, with Derek Varn and a whole bunch of other people as we talk about CLR James. But tonight, we're not talking about that. But before we get to our topic at hand, I just want to remind you guys that I hope that you have the calendars marked for June 8th, because we are going to be live from DC, Beyond the Black Jacobin, CLR James and the Struggle for Socialism in America, Adolf Reed, the Pascal Robert, Daniel Tutt, Vanessa Willis, Derek Varn, Billy Bunton, all hosted by me. So that should be fun. Wherever you are watching or listening to the show, there are links to the tickets in the description. Also, if you cannot make it out to DC, that's okay. There should be links to tickets for the live stream as well. So I can't wait to see you guys. Now it just feels like a matter of weeks. Like, I'm so nervous. I gotta get ready for this DC thing. So Saturday should be a good precursor to what you're gonna get DC. And I wish I had the ability to play Band from DC when I do this ad. Speaking of Band from DC, I'm getting texted by my co-author, Alexander Herbert. He's very mad at me right now. He keeps blowing me up, not realizing that I'm on air. Damn you, Alex. Throws me off when I hear that. But recently I've been reading some articles. Friend of show, Tyler Austin Harper, had some tweets about this that got him some responses that were not the nicest. But what's going on with all the kid unfriendly spaces? As people that have watched the show know, I love kids. I even have a few. Not as many as Toussaint likes to joke that I have. But I do have a few. I won't tell you how many. But I have more than two. But seriously, kids are great when they're yours. Your kids are always the funniest, cutest, most intelligent. But other people's kids, those booger eaters are nowhere near as fabulous as our own children, right? They're the obnoxious ones running around yelling at the top of their lungs. You know the type. There is an evolution we're seeing to move away from the kid-friendly chains we grew up with in the 80s and 90s. There has been a noticeable rise in spaces that do not allow children. These child-friendly environments, ranging from restaurants and cafes to hotels and housing developments. Ooh, that's rough. Cater to adults seeking a tranquil, child-free atmosphere for various reasons. Advocates for these kid-exclusive experiences argue that such spaces offer adults a chance to unwind without disruptions, allowing them to engage in activities and social experiences tailored to their preferences. However, this trend also raises questions about social inclusivity and the potential impact on families and parents. Tonight, with my guest, who's also a parent, we will explore the nuances of this phenomenon and reveal how changing cultural values and lifestyle choices are reshaping communal spaces and experiences. Please welcome my guest, journalist and host of Modus Operandi on RT, and to her child, the best mommy in the world. You know that's not true. We know who the best mommy in the world is. Please welcome Manila Chan.
Hi. Hello. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Thank you for taking the time to bitch about childless millennials with me.
As I'm being a bad mom and dumping my kid in front of the TV watching The Simpsons.
I sent you a message making fun of you, I think today or yesterday, when I found one of those videos that baffle me of these, and they're young women that do these things for their families that no one should do ever. Even if you have the time, I don't want you to do it. She was like, my husband has never eaten an Oreo because I make him Oreos because I don't want him to eat preservatives. And she like made like 12 freaking Oreos from scratch.
Oh God.
And she was like, these are for
my
husband.
It's a thing. Yeah. It's a thing. It's a thing, Jason. It's the trad wife. That there's a trad wife.
And that's true. Traditional. They can't say traditional wife.
Right. Right. It's got to be hip and
trad. You're trad.
Trad. She's like a trad mom.
I would just think you have way too much time on your hands.
Yes.
And there's so many other things you could have done way cooler than fucking make Oreos from scratch.
Yes.
But well, anyway, I sent that to you and I was like, you are no longer mom of the year.
No, well, okay. I never was. I never claimed to be. Look, let me put this out there to your audience if they're not familiar with who I am or
they've even, never seen you in a t-shirt. If they've ever seen you before, they've never even seen
right.
You in
a if they've ever seen me, it's always like professional on set or you know, hair all coiffed and professional makeup and all that. I was never ever one of those women that's like when I was pregnant and I was pregnant on air. Right. I mean, people just were taking bets about when I was going to burst. Like I was all belly and I was never, ever one of those women that was like, oh, I'm this magical vessel of life. I'm giving birth. I'm bringing life into the world, populating the planet. I'm not one of those women. I didn't even know that I had it in me to be a mom. Or mm-hmm. even that I wanted it. It was, as it turns out, it's everything I never knew that I wanted. And I'm so glad that I am a mom now. But I was not going to kid myself and I'm not going to kid everybody else. They lie to you when they say it's 9 months. It's really 10 months. If you hit all 40 weeks, they lie. That was one of the things that pissed me off too. Cause I was like, wait a minute. I did the math. Wait, 40 weeks. That's 10 months. They're like, well, we mean 9 full months. I'm like, okay. I was bitching about not being able to smoke, not being able to have my own body be my body for the better part of a year. Not at all. That's real, right? Like I had to stop drinking. I had to stop smoking. I had to stop going, you know, doing whatever. My life was about to change and that's real. So I was never one of those women that's like, oh, I'm so magical. And this is such a magical moment. No, it's not. It's not fucking magical. Billions of people do it every day.
You don't make fish sticks or anything like that and do it like those trad wives?
I've tried. I don't have a lot of time, but I mean, you know, I have made stuff from scratch just to try it, like chicken nuggets, which are way better. Like if you can do it from scratch.
Like, did you get the boneless chicken? Those are easy to catch, apparently.
Well, yes. Well, yeah, you buy your boneless chicken or whatever. You blend it up. You actually add potatoes.
Oh, you actually made like the good paste.
Yeah, you bled it out. Yeah.
Oof. You had too much time on your hands that day.
And then you put some panko. No, but then you can freeze it for later too. So you just got to carve out some time right then and there. And then you have like a whole tray and then you can freeze them. So, you know, you got to try making some. There's too many additives and everything. And there's just, you know, if you can do that stuff, then you try to do it for your little person.
See, this is how bad. Maybe I'm closer to a trad wife because someone said I just had fish with no tartar sauce. I could never do that.
What, have fish with no tartar sauce?
Like if you were going to come to my house and I had like a fish something, there would be tartar sauce there as well.
Oh, I love tartar sauce.
Yeah, I would. And if I didn't, like I make it. I make the tartar sauce.
Oh.
Right? Like I'll go that extra mile. Damn, but I don't think that's the same thing as making a goddamn Oreo.
No, that I don't. I've seen videos like all these trad wives making their whole families, you know, like like everything from scratch.
Everything.
And then I see videos of them later, like years later, like 2 years, 3 years into it, and they're having a complete mental breakdown. I'm not even kidding. And then there's one woman in particular, I forget. I mean, I would tell, maybe I'll find it and I'll send it to you. But she had like a complete mental breakdown after she thought she'd be this all-star trad wife for a few years. And then fast forward 3 or 4 years, she's literally, I mean, she looks like a 90s grunge chick, no longer the hair and makeup coiffed, all done. Yeah. And she's in therapy and she's like talking about, on this is all on her TikTok. And she's talking about how she's in therapy and she's filing for divorce and just everything.
Oh, God.
Everything just went berserk because, I don't know, she made one too many Oreos from scratch, I guess. I don't know. Like, just.
It's you can't do that shit all. Like someone said in the chat that they are a mom and they don't like cooking. And I actually enjoy cooking. I enjoy cooking for my family.
I just don't have that much time to do everything from scratch.
No, not at all. Not at all. And F you if you think F whoever has that much time. Like F them.
I don't
F them so hard. Jailhouse F them.
Yeah. Like,
it's not. No.
Like drop the soap kind of.
Yeah.
F them?
Like, yeah, you're not going to like it.
All right.
You're not asking for it.
All right.
It.
Yeah. That's pretty serious.
But, how mad I get at that. But I enjoy it. Like I did it before I came here when I was living with my son's mom. I was like the house husband and I made I loved it. I loved it.
That's awesome.
I loved going grocery shopping. Oh yeah. I'm June Cleaver with a hairy chest.
Oh my God. I don't love that stuff. I do it. I run this house like a logistics hub. But serious. But you know, especially COVID really changed the structure of how things get done. And we can get into a whole different conversation about how I feel kind of guilty almost that COVID trained me into buying everything online. But you know, I live out here in the DC area. We didn't have a choice, right? So kind of had to do that. But anyway, when the stuff comes, I try to meal prep and do all of that stuff. And yeah, being a mom, being a working mom, being a wife and all of that stuff, being a daughter, a sister and an aunt, a this and that, a friend, it's hard. It is
It's hella hard. The situation I was in, it was an interesting one because I don't want to get too personal about how they live, but they live in this apartment complex that the parents owned. And the parents live on the big unit on the bottom, and then the daughters live upstairs. And my son's mom and her sister both have children. Well, my son and then his cousins are around the same age.
Oh, that's great.
And so, like,
so it's like a family compound.
It's like a family compound. It's actually kind of cool. Awesome. And on the weekends, I would like, hey, I'm going to make everybody bananas Foster French toast.
All right.
And you know,
okay.
I was like, or I'd get an idea like, hey, I have this great idea for dinner tonight. And I would just like make everybody food. That's fun for me. Sometimes, not every day. On the weekend, that's fun for me.
No.
Every day, not fun.
No. This mom and wife is like the meal prepper, and I will like, Sunday is the meal prep day
and you actually prepare
for the week I package everything up and it just
can't do that
one day.
I'm always like, you know what today we're gonna have, you know, I'll look at my kid, for the most part he's gonna eat around the same thing, so I don't have to get that fancy. He's 5, your kid's about the same age.
Someone
asked the question, I do want to ask you this $1 million question: meals for all different tastes, or you must make only one meal? Now, you have a small family. It's just you, your husband, and your son.
Right.
So does your son, he's 5, so also he doesn't eat everything.
No, he's in the extreme picky eating phase. So, like, I don't even know if it counts as a meal. Like, see, I won't get too personal about him because one day he's going to be like, Mom, why are you talking about me on air? But maybe it's a phase, maybe it's not. Maybe he's got a disorder.
It's a phase.
I don't know.
It's a phase,
I hope he's. It is. There are particular things he's willing to eat, and that's it. Like 10 things.
Yeah.
Total. I mean, it could be a breakfast cereal, it could be a cookie, it could be noodles, it could be whatever. There's like 10 things on this kid's menu, and that's it. As far as my husband, it's about volume and protein. It's true.
This comment is also hilarious. There's parents that give a choice. If you were in my house, no.
Mine too.
I would, there's no, I think if you're a halfway decent human, you'll make something that everyone will enjoy. But
yeah,
I
but
definitely
kids
understand
don't like,
that.
Kids yeah, don't yeah. like anything. That's the thing. Like when you grow up in a Lao household, an immigrant household, mm-hmm. I mean, there's, you're at school and you get, you know, like, okay, it's pizza day. It's chicken nugget day. It's cheeseburger day. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
So you come home, you ain't American anymore. You're a Lao kid now at this house. And so it's like, oh, we're eating this soup with congealed blood. Oh, we're eating. We got chicken feet. We got chicken feet today. We're having chicken feet. And I'm like,
You didn't like that? You didn't like that ethnic food?
I mean, I didn't know any different. At the time, I mean, I knew the contrast between my school day and when I came home, but, you know, and as it turns out, fast forward 40 some odd years later, now I'm like, yeah, I ate a lot healthier than probably most of my friends that I grew up with. And that probably the diet at home probably largely contributed to my eating habits now and probably helped physically shape me for the rest of my life, because, you know, you kind of train your body to eat certain things and your body behaves a certain way and responds a certain way to food. So, you know, my relationship with food is, I think, very, very healthy and good. It's not like I just want to eat pizza. Although I did eat buffalo wings today. So
my son's mom and I had a pretty good pediatrician. That kind of helped us help his palate at a very young age.
So jealous.
Yeah, you know, I look, that woman, I have to give her all kinds of props. She's a pretty resourceful and smart mom, and she got a really good pediatrician that made us feel very comfortable doing things that I might not even have been comfortable doing when I had kids 20 years prior. Because, you know, my daughter who's 25,
right.
I was 5, right?
Right. Right.
So that's actually pretty cool that my kid, we might have to call it different things. Because he'd be like, oh, I don't want that. But if you say, oh, this is the soup you had the other day. Oh, that's what it is? Okay, word, I'll eat it. Like, we went out to Indian food. When I went up to the Bay Area, I saw him and my daughter, and we all went out to Indian food. And I was like, okay, does he like Indian food still?
You got a 5-year-old to eat Indian food?
Fuck that shit up, yeah.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
God.
But I give a lot of props, because at a very young age, he was eating certain things that had more complex tastes.
Right.
Does he prefer to eat a cheeseburger or pepperoni pizza? Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Does he prefer to eat chicken nuggets? Yes.
Kid stuff. Yeah. Typical
but
kid stuff.
When I get my phone call from him, sometimes he's eating, you know, butter chicken and curries and stuff like that.
Let me just say though, because both of our kids, both of our boys are now school aged, right? Mm-hmm. I have cousins in France that are a couple years older, but they're elementary school aged. And I have seen photos from their cafeterias. It's more like a cafe, but with little small children. I'm serious. It's like a fucking cafe that you would pay to go to, like Earth Cafe with a U in Los Angeles, right? And they have like gourmet food. on their plates. It's not the same as like the American school system where we're like grinding out like GMO shit to feed the children. It's like you're just, you know, feeding the cattle. They actually feed children real food in France, like food that you and I would pay for at a cafe. These children are eating this in school. And these are my cousin's kids, right? So I'm like, wow, very impressed. And I think that it makes me think of like all the restaurants that say they're kid friendly. And then you go to the kid menu and there's like three items on there.
Yeah.
And it's like not, it's the same garbage over and over because like you said at the top, like America has just really become less kid friendly. Whereas literally in Europe, they give their kids stuff and they bring kids to restaurants and bars and expose them to stuff.
That's you know, when I first toured the UK in 2013, I remember we were at a bar that was near where we were staying in Bath. And I couldn't find the picture, but this kid walked in and like, I was blown away.
By himself? Well,
he didn't buy it by himself. Pull me a drink, hey? I'll have the usual. Just fill it up in this sippy cup right out. Yeah. he didn't do that. He wasn't a dirty chimney sweep kid.
It's like a Dickens novel.
Just hard day in these mines, I tell you. I was in Bath, not Middlesbrough. But he was with his parents, and at one point, the picture that this is what sucks when Facebook like destroys your account. You lose all these cool pictures.
Oh no!
There was a picture of the kid. And he was tired because and his parents were just there. He wasn't doing anything bad. He was just a little, maybe like four. And there's a picture of him at the bar. He's kind of like this.
At the bar?
That's at the so bar, like on the bar. And it's just like, and I took this picture and I just thought it was it was wild to me. But
well, yeah,
seeing for us, that
and it was American only eyes.
Day. Yeah, it was only in the day when we go to the bar at night. There definitely wasn't kids there, but. To see that made me go, okay, this is kind of cool. And I definitely see it here in certain bars, not all bars, where kids are in and it's really not a big deal. But first, like kind of talking point, getting to that. From an article in Fortune magazine, millennials and Gen Z are less enthusiastic about having children than their parents. The reasons are many: financial, social, and biological, along with the preference among younger generations for freedom. Do you think this cultural shift in not wanting children at all, regardless of your reasoning, is playing a factor here?
Well, it's definitely a cultural shift here in America. I mean, this country, and it's not because I'm speaking, you know, from a place of longing for yesteryear or anything, you know, it's, what do I know? I'm the first American born in my family. But once, even in the 80s, Jason, when you and I were kids, like everything was kid friendly, but everyone was also smoking and there were like special zones that you can smoke in.
did it feel to you like it was more pacifying though? Like did you ever go to Vegas as a young teenager?
Yes, I have family in Vegas too.
Okay, so you remember Vegas had massive arcades everywhere?
Yes. Circus
was just a mass. I don't have, is it even there anymore?
No. Let me address Vegas before I jump back. So I don't know when the last time you've been to Vegas was. So Vegas went through its, first of all, I felt sad that they got rid of all of those, we'll call them antique hotels like Sands or whatever. Like those were the
mob
hotels.
Yeah.
Yes. Mob. Those were the hotels that made Las Vegas. Number one, Circus. Also, I would put in that category because it was like suddenly turning Las Vegas into like this kid friendly place. But then it went through this new Vegas wanted to, you know, what stays in Vegas, you know, what happens in Vegas
96.
Stays in Vegas.
Yes.
Yes.
The change. Yes.
So they started shifting their image into where young, hip, cool yuppies go. Right. No kids. Suddenly it was like Sans Kids. But now they're reverting back they're reverting back to trying to make Vegas into a more family-friendly place, because what they found, and obviously from me doing news for like the last 20 years, I know weird odds and ends and, you know, about what happens to cities. And what happened in Vegas was, obviously, if you are a place that's only revolved around partying and gambling and all the seediest, worst stuff that we can offer society, then, you know, a lot of these people, they're not just coming to visit. They end up staying because they're shit out of luck and they have nowhere else to go. So they stay there, right? And gambling is an addiction. So anyway, in hopes of trying to clean up the town and bring families, especially after the 2008 financial crisis and the housing bubble burst, Vegas was one of the hardest hit, right, in the whole country. So they had to revamp. And how do you revamp? So they decided to do a throwback and start making Vegas like a family-friendly destination again. So I think that's pretty cool. But I mean, again, you know, it goes through ebbs and flows, right? Like, you know, anything else, it's a trend right now. That's the image. They're trying to revamp and make Vegas like a family destination. Like they, I mean, it worked for Florida, right? And it's been more sustainable for Florida. I mean,
Florida has those amusement parks. Humidity, right, to me is different than that just beat you down to a bloody pulp desert heat of Las Vegas.
No, I think I'd rather, I would.
When they got rid of, rid of Wet and Wild on the Strip, that's when it went to hell to me.
Is that a strip club?
No. No, that's my house on the weekends. No, just kidding. It's not, sadly. Dry and somber is what it should be called. But Wet n Wild was a water park that was on the Strip in the 80s to the early 90s. I think it's where New York is now. That's how long. New York is like one of the older.
Really? Yeah. Oh, wow. No, I don't think I ever went there, but they're doing a lot of stuff to try to attract people to move to the suburbs in and around the Strip. Like they're trying to expand beyond the Strip, because while, you know, COVID really hurt the industry, obviously, gambling, like that hurt, that sucked for everybody. But Vegas had to, you can't really put all your eggs in that one basket. And I think they figure that out. So I think they're trying to expand and trying to compete with Florida, with Las Vegas, or excuse me, with Orlando.
Good luck. Orlando has Disney World, and that
I know
itself is a freaking week. If you go to Disney World for one day, you wasted your money. You have to go for a week. It's that big. You cannot go.
Really?
If you want to experience it, because if you're just going to go today, go to Disneyland. Let's go to Disneyland.
Yeah. Disneyland.
It's cheaper for you to get on a plane, fly back to California, and go to Disneyland than it is to try
to
Disney World. Exactly. Disney World is a week-long excursion.
Yeah, thousands and thousands of dollars, from what I understand.
Too much money.
And then as it turns out, my kid doesn't like Disneyland or stuff anyway.
So. Then F that then.
Yeah,
then,
so we're not.
Go to the fair.
Disneyland was the test, because I wasn't going to dump several thousand dollars into Disney World. No. So we try a few hundred bucks.
No.
I can't believe I'm saying a few hundred bucks for Disney. I was like,
my kids.
$600 for the day for two three of the people, kids, maybe.
It's crazy. Not all three of the first batch, because I have, you know, there's they came in batches for me. So the original batch, the OG kids I have. Well, no, just one, because I think my son stayed with me, but my daughter actually got to go on the Disney cruise.
I don't even know. Yeah. Like, I don't even know the whole.
She went on the cruise.
So
she got to dress up like a princess. She had a different princess dress.
Oh.
And had dinner with a different princess every night.
See, I don't. And plus, it's a daughter, right? So, like,
the only interested. One.
Oh, that's right.
The only one. The first one's the only one.
Well, I mean, I don't even know what girls are into anymore, or if they're even called girls anymore. I think
she's a young lady now. I can't call her a girl because she's 25. So she's a young woman.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't, well, I'll tell you right now, the food that she was eating was better than the food that they're eating now in the cafeteria. The quality has just gone less and like just gotten worse and worse and worse over the years. And because now everything is GMO, like everything is like bioengineered. Everything is fried. It's just terrible.
Like, well, see, now you sound like you're going to make Oreos from scratch.
But I can't. That's the thing. I have a job. Like,
so, okay, let's just say one day your husband walks to you, that Prince Charming of a man that's in the next room with your badass son who's got green snot coming out of his nose. And your valiant husband walks over, saunters over to you and says, Manila, I'm tired of watching you work. And I'm tired of eating these Oreos from the store. I want you to make Oreos from scratch. And there's enough coming in on my end that you don't have to, you want for nothing with me. Just, you know, don't work anymore. And maybe you make a few Oreos from scratch here and there.
Well, okay. Let me first put it out there. That is not my husband and will never be my husband. It was actually the guy that I didn't marry that was like that. And I was still like, fuck that, dude. I have my own career and my own interests. Like, I love you and all, but no. Yeah. I have like, no, dude, I have my own stuff, my own interests that take up time. I'm like, go hire a chef for that. Like that. No, no. But we do try to cook healthy in the house, and try to avoid, you know, as much of that junk out there as possible. So we don't actually take our son out very much. One, 'cause he's in that picky eating stage. So he just won't eat anything anyway. Maybe a French fry. Right. Like from the whole basket, it'll be like a French fry. Like,
oh,
right. So it's like, ugh, now I'm stuck eating French fries. So it doesn't go to waste, you know, and like Lao child of immigrants. Right. Like none of this animal goes to waste. Now I got to eat all your shit and my shit.
Do you yell at your child if there's chicken on the bone?
They did to me. That's what they did to me. They're like sucking on that bone every minute. Yeah, none of that animal goes to waste.
There's still marrow on that plate, son. He's just crying.
They used to tell me as a kid, right? Like it'd be like I don't know. Let's say a piece of meat. I don't know, no bigger than like my thumb, right? And they'd be like, you know, in Laos, that piece of meat feed the whole family. Why you don't eat? Eat this. You so spoil. You eat. So, you know, that's immigrant parents, right? And you know, I'm actually grateful for it. So I do, because it's helped me shape my worldview and see how lucky and fortunate I actually am. Because they're like, you know how lucky you are? You born in the United States? Just one state.
This is bringing me back. I told you when we met, I told you I grew up somewhere where I grew up with a bunch of you people.
I know. And they'd show me pictures, right? With like all these kids in tattered clothes and, you know, living in huts and stuff. And they're like, you have cable TV. You look at Nickelodeon. You're like, kid in Lao don't have toy to play with. And I'm like,
play with gut.
It's true. So it's like, okay, so I always had that. I had first world guilt, right? But you know, as much as they tried to impress on me about like family, having, you know, more to the point of your question, that impress family and all that stuff on me, I was, you know, like not the typical Asian kid, right? And I didn't want to grow up to be a doctor. I didn't want to grow up to be a lawyer. I didn't want those things. I wanted to flit off around the world chasing stories going after, you know, adrenaline rush, and maybe a husband would be in the cards. I don't know.
Can you do an impersonation of your mom bitching at you about not having a husband and disappointing her in her sewing circle of friends?
Oh, see, sewing, but like, but like sweatshop style, not like sewing.
I'm sorry. I was trying to be nice, but shit, okay. In her sweat. Like,
don't make my mom out to be like, you know, some suburban, you know, upper middle class white mom that's, you know, like in her knitting club.
White man.
That wasn't it.
Yeah. No.
That was, she was like sewing, like on the Juki. People that sew commercial, you know that brand. You know, Juki.
Does your mom make good bootleg purses?
Is I do she can sew up a storm, but she was a chef, so before she retired, but yeah, that's why I got all that food guilt and whatever, so about not wasting anything. But yeah, so we don't really take the kiddo out. Like you said, there's not a lot of kid friendly stuff around, and mostly though, it's I think the value for the money these days, like I said, he'll eat like one fry. Why am I going to spend
eating
like $17 on fries? I'm not even kidding. In this DC Metro, oof. Wait till you get here, Jason.
Look at my face. Look at this.
I'll buy you one.
I don't
order
like
$14 fries.
Going back because it's so expensive to eat in your country. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait so till you come to the belly of the beast. Let me tell you, people are fucking empty in the belly of the beast because it's so damn expensive to eat out. People just can't afford it. And then COVID shut down all of the restaurants and stuff anyway. So there's really not a whole lot of
this is options. A great comment right here. $17 fries are never going to be worth
That's
it.
Right. But come tell the people in DC that the restaurants. You'll see, Jason.
I would slap it out of someone's hand and be like, why would you do that? Why would you do that?
And because all they'll offer on the menu is like truffle fries, right? Because this DC, you got to be fancy, right? So they'll only offer you the truffle fries when you're like, but I have a kid. Like, he's not going to eat fucking truffle fries. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to stink to him. Like, can't you just make it regular fries? So you think you are going to get a discount, right? Because you just throw it in the fryer, right? You don't have to add your special stuff that makes it $17. They still charge you the $17 for regular fries. That's how shit is out here. And it's because they don't cater to A, working families, or B, families at all. And it's just not like they are aiming to exploit all the dinks in this area.
What
because
are dinks? Is that
dual sense? Income, no kids. You don't know that term?
I should know it, huh?
Yeah, dinks. Dual income, no kids.
Is it a derogatory term?
It can be. I think
goddamn dinks everywhere.
I guess it's context, right? Like it can be. It can be derogatory. But I mean, dinks is just like some people wear it proudly. There's whole TikTok channels about that, all Instagram, look it up on the gram.
I don't want, there's too many things that I get in my Instagram feed right now that I shouldn't get. I send most
I know
of
you sent them to me. No.
Most
and
of
I
it
hate
goes
all
you.
Of these people.
I just want you to share in my disdain for a lot of this BS that people consume. In what ways, and I ask this question to you and to everyone listening. In what ways do these kid unfriendly spaces, are they challenging traditional norms of family and even the idea of community? I was reading an article from New Zealand. There were some interesting articles in different parts of the world about parents kind of encountering kid unfriendly spaces. And there was one article from New Zealand where a woman was going to a group where it was a community group and they were organizing for something. She didn't say exactly what they were organizing for, but she had one income in her family, mm-hmm. and she had to take her 2-year-old with her. And she had all the things to keep the 2-year-old occupied. And at a certain point, the 2-year-old was being a little loud. So she took the 2-year-old outside and quietly read to the 2-year-old. And someone walked up to her and said, "If I was you, I wouldn't have brought the kid." And she said she was like kind of taken aback by it. She didn't go back to the follow-up meeting. In what ways do these kind of unfriendly spaces for kids, and this is your opinion, hurt these ideas that we have around family and community? Because a lot of these spaces we're talking about are kind of urban spaces where we congregate to just eat. So for me personally, I don't really give a damn if your kid's in there whining or yelling. Right.
Well, there's a fine line, right? So, like I have lived in Dubai where some of these Emirati families, like those kids are out of fucking out of control. I'm serious. Like allowing their kids to climb over into your booth or running around the restaurant. I mean, there's a certain decorum. Like, yeah, bring kids out. And I think that's vitally important. So your kid doesn't grow up to be a fucking douchebag. So your kid knows how to behave in public. Right. I think it's vitally important, which is why Europeans do that. Right. They make, it's not weird to have your kid out to dinner, even at a fancy restaurant. And like you said, even at a bar, you know, before it's bedtime, obviously, because they tend to doze off, these weird little people. But it's vitally important to have kids see what grownups do, what real life looks like. Here in the US, we have wanted to segregate children. And this comes really from like an Anglo-Saxon, a very Protestant kind of colonial mindset of okay, this is what the rich Anglos did in England, right? Children are seen and never heard and things like that. The rich lords and whatever they call the women, the dames and whatever, they had night nurses. You separate the kid from the mom, from the family. And the kid is nowhere to be found, right? That has obviously the colonies were founded by British people, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of what your home should look like, people always aspire to be more like the Kardashians of that day. It's true. So like everybody's always want, it's always just, that's always been the story all throughout history, is people want to emulate the wealthier, the affluent, the whatever. And that's kind of how things were done with the affluent people back in those days. So when the colonies were founded, the 13 colonies, people didn't have these big houses and families were all together. And that was the norm, right? But people that had the wealth also did the whole separation of children and, you know, keep them over there. You can't hear the baby cry. Like, that's so uncouth. While the rest of the working schmucks, the rest of America, let's say pre-World War II, were all like in these tiny houses where all the siblings are all in one room. You know, that used to be the norm. And then kids went everywhere. And then over time, especially when women's rights came into play, when the rest, you know, 50%, when the U.S. government realized that 50%, they could be earning 50% more taxable income by encouraging women to get out there. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that they did to a degree, but I think the pendulum swung so far in the other direction about convincing women that this is some kind of brainwashing of the patriarchy to become a mom. I think that's a false narrative.
Is that the trad wife narrative? Is that why you got to make your Oreos from scratch?
Yeah, I think they're trying to overcorrect to be like, look how traditional and wonderful and June Cleaver I am.
That's
like,
not June Cleaver. June Cleaver would never fucking make Oreos from scratch.
No?
Fuck no. She might deep fry them motherfuckers.
Really?
She doesn't make anything from scratch.
Hey, you think fried June Oreos Cleaver's are a thing?
Deep fried Oreos are, I know of one place in San Francisco where you can get deep fried Oreos till like 4 a.m.
It's a thing.
It's a magical place.
So, you know, if June Cleaver does. I don't know who else. I mean, I don't know. I'm somewhere between June and Peg Bundy, right?
That's a wide fucking spectrum.
But it's like somewhere in there. That's the reality, right? Some days I'm like fucking Peg Bundy and I just like want to eat bonbons and smoke a cigarette. But you know, other days I'm like, Sundays are my day that I'm June, I guess. But yeah, I think over the years, we have conditioned society to be like you have to do you. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's why the whole hashtag treat yourself exists.
That's a hashtag?
Yeah.
Is it allow hashtag?
No, I would never make up some shit like that. Treat yourself. I think that was some, I think it was only funny to me because I discovered it on the show Parks and Rec. If you ever watch that, I love I love corny sitcoms like that. I'm a sitcom junkie. And, some of the characters would when they would, you know, flit off from work and go shopping or whatever, like the Aziz Ansari character, they would say, treat yourself. And then it kind of became a thing. And I think that was like 2000, I want to say like 10-ish. That's when that kind of mantra really started picking up steam and everyone was doing them. But so here's the thing. Remember at the top when I said that in my 20s, because I didn't want to grow up to be a doctor or a lawyer. I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to see cultures and meet people and talk and hear stories and understand why wars happened and, you know, the outcomes of this or that policy. And I was like, you know, by my late 20s, my friends were settling down, getting married, having kids, doing all of that stuff. And here I am like partying it up in Dubai. I don't know what y'all are doing, but I'm hanging out with a sheikh. I don't know about you. I'm hopping this Maybach right now. So like, but I understood whether it was a phase or not. I just knew, and I was honest with myself, that I wanted to be selfish. I had no interest at that point in my life. And it was late 20s. Maybe I was getting long in the tooth, but I had no interest in getting married or having a kid or anything traditional. I was like, no, I want to fucking party. I want to travel. I want to smoke cigarettes. I want to have a drink. I want to pursue my career. I don't want that. But at least I was honest. I was honest. I said flat out, like, no, I'm too selfish for that. I am not fucking trying to be responsible for another human life. Like, no. But I feel like the younger generation now, rather than have that kind of blatant honesty and honesty to yourself, even not even to other people that you're projecting. I mean, honesty to their own selves. You know, as much as people are like, live your truth. That's all these bullshit mantras these days. I don't think it's true. It's not true because I think a lot of people deep mm-hmm. down inside, and I'm speaking about a lot of women, because I know a lot of women like this, they project and say one thing, but I know that deep down inside they feel a different way. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously you make your own decisions, and as somebody's friend, like all you can do is listen and advise and be like, well, you know, you could do that, but here's how this can turn around and bite you in the ass 10 years from now. I mean, if you're a good friend, that's what you're going to do, right? At least for me back then, I understood myself enough to know that I wanted to pursue my career and I wanted to be selfish. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, straight up. Today, the mantras of like, oh, I don't want to have kids because of the environment, or I want to, oh, like the world is an awful place and I don't want to bring a life into the world has always been a fucking awful place. Nothing has fucking changed. I lost my paternal grandfather to bombing, the secret war in Laos, the secret bombings, and my dad's then 7-year-old brother. So you know what? The world has always been a fucking awful place, but you've never heard people in society before that ever say, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to bring kids into the world because bombs, because typhoid.
I mean, is it though, does it feel like that's one of those things that really speaks to a certain kind of individualism that we start to get in the 60s, a kind of one-dimensional human that Marcuse talks about, where you can't really see beyond yourself. And is that just getting
right.
doubled down upon in this current moment?
I think that's
And do you think that, because as I was, because this whole show is supposed to be kind of fun in general, right? But all jokes aside, does it feel to you more like this is just capitalizing on this childless market? Because the reality, like, my daughter's 25. She's been with her boyfriend for some time. I love him to death. I would, if they told me they were getting married tomorrow, I'd be over the moon. I'd be like, oh my God, can we go dress shopping?
That's really great.
Right?
I can't even imagine being the parent of an adult child. So I'm so far from that,
man,
you know,
so
I don't,
fun.
I can't
it's
even,
so much fun and not at the same time.
I can't put my head around that.
It's so like, much fun all. And not fun at the same time. Cause she looks at me like you look at me like I'm still a kid. And sometimes I do in certain aspects and I have to, you know, pull back on the way I talk to her cause she's not a child anymore.
Right. She's still your baby though.
Yeah. But she's not. She's big and, you know, she's got an apartment and
I cannot I can't put my brain around because I'm so far from that. Like
you are.
You know, I can't even fathom.
No, it's cool. Trust me, it'll be cool. But the reality is that her and her, even if they wanted to, they're so far from even that being a part of their reality. Even thinking about having a child, just the fact that they don't live with family is like a huge victory for both of them.
Well, and at this day and age, are you kidding? Yeah, of course.
I was a homeowner when I was 25. It was a different time.
That was not me.
Well, yeah, you're in Dubai fucking, you know, doing lines off some blows, off some sheep's ass. <Shh. laughs>
It was before social media. Okay.
So. You could do so much stuff before social media.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Social media.
Thank God.
That's really why you can't have kids.
Yes. Thank God you and I grew up. We had some adult years behind us before social media.
You could just fuck up in high school.
Yeah.
I watched a little short on, and I know you don't follow sports, but there's a young man came out in the draft this year and he didn't go in the first round. And there was rumors that he didn't go in the first round because he was on a reality show when he was in high school about quarterbacks. And because in the reality show, he came off as not a good teammate. It's a reality show. These things are sometimes these interactions are scripted and he was 17. They're like NFL scouts and said, we can't get the taste of him on that reality.
Seriously?
Show. Yeah.
Or is this
so
rumor?
No. So like
they said so.
Yes. They were like, we had him rated high on our board, but we didn't want to bring him in because of the reality show. He ended up going in the fifth round to the New Orleans Saints, but he had been projected as a first round draft pick since he was a junior in high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
I mean, there's more to it. Like, he didn't put up huge numbers in college, but whatever. The fact is that a scout didn't say, oh, when he transferred out of Oklahoma, he didn't put eye-popping numbers up. It was, that reality show really put a bad taste in my mouth. Well, that's frightening.
Well, see, that okay,
at
if
17?
He was... I was just going to say, if he was a minor at the time, that means his parents permitted him to be on the show.
Yeah.
So
the show is about young football. It's called QB1. It's on Netflix. It's about top tier high school
athletes.
Quarterbacks who are about to go to college. It's about their senior year. So it made sense. And this is right around the time the NIL thing was happening, which is where kids can get paid now for their likeness. They can get paid now for doing advertising spots.
Okay.
So if you
college,
think about
right?
it,
that's
yeah. In college and in high school.
Wow.
They don't care anymore. These kids have huge social media followings now in high school. So by the time you walk to campus, it's like, oh, I got a big social media following and they want to go to schools now that have whole departments centered around the NIL to help them with their brands. And if you think this is just football players, no. The biggest NIL people are female athletes.
I have no idea about that
world.
Oh,
it's a whole thing. We don't have, but see, that's a whole different show.
But see, but you see how that, it's like an allegory, right? Mm-hmm. Of what happened to this poor kid. Like, I mean, again, if the NFL doesn't know that half the shit that happens on reality shows are not reality, they're reality adjacent, mm-hmm. right? Then like, that's so unfair. But that's part of the reason, like, I don't like posting too much about my son. I don't want to give him the digital footprint in the world yet. Mm-hmm. Like, as you know, because who knows? Like, look at that weird story, right? Like, besides, you know, weird creepers and stuff out there. But the world just has gotten a lot more complicated. So I don't exactly blame, you know, I'm not going to blame the whole brainwashing of saying one way or the other, brainwashing that, oh, you're not a woman unless you have a family. You're not fulfilling your whatever destiny as a woman. That's one far end over here. And on the other side, the other far end is like, no, you don't want kids. It slows you down. What about your career? Don't you want to buy that Louis Vuitton bag? Don't you want to go on this like chic-ation with your girlfriends? Like
chic-ation?
Yeah. Or a hercation. Oh, I don't know what they call it. Like a hercation, maybe.
A hercation sounds even more frightening.
I know.
I don't move.
Look it up, please. Look it up.
Oh God, it's a hurricane coming quickly. Let's just leave. Pay the bill. Let's leave.
I'll show you some pictures of hurricane, and you and I will talk about this privately. but again, it's like overcorrections on two parts, and a part of me, I understand why some people don't want kids in, especially in this day and age. Like I get it, but. But it's a different animal to be cheerleading and being like, yeah, fuck kids, fuck those little kids. You know, it's like, it's a whole different, you know what I mean? It's a different vibe to be like, no, I don't want kids, or I'm not really into kids. I mean, it's fine. Like, it's fine to just be like, I don't want children at this stage of my life, right? Like, it's okay. It's acceptable to say that. But always
be
open.
They're not for everybody.
Right,
they're not for everybody. They're not for everybody.
There are some parents that shouldn't be parents. That I mean, good God. But but there's like these two extremes, and what's making it, I think, what's pushing people further to the extremes is like the political climate in this country, with people not like you and I, you know, when we were coming of age, young women having the choice with their own bodies to decide when, you know, if there is an accident, if there is an oops, and this is not the path that they want, you know, when you're removing choice from young women, you're going to push them to the other extreme, where now they're not going to procreate, and we are not at the replacement rate in the United States. And we're not, you know, but that's everywhere in the world, by the way. Like every so-called first world nation is way below replacement rate, which is really scary. Especially when you look at as the boomers are starting to die out, and the replacement rate from the Gen Zers at this point is not there. And all of the social programs that we have in place, people think about those things. These are real things, you know? And when you don't give people the option to protect themselves against, you know, something that could derail the rest of their lives, then you're going to push people to that other extreme. Like America's just gotten to this place of like two real far extremes. You have the trad wives with like 10 kids, and then you have that go insane. And then you have these young Gen Zers, guys and girls, that are boys are snipping their junk. I know some Gen Zers, professionals, well-educated, great jobs, snipping their stuff, guys and gals.
They don't want to just pull out way early?
No.
So, I mean,
it's
no?
just where we're at, like politically. Wow. It's just, it's not the same as when you and I were that age, Jason. Like the climate in America is very different, and it's not fostering a place where people feel safe of just admitting that they want to do them for now. We're in a place of like absolutes, right? Everything is an absolute. Like you must support Palestine or you must support Israel. Like there's something in the middle, or you must support this or that. Like, no, the world is full of gray areas. The world is not absolute.
That might have been the one example where you could
put other than pregnancy, you either are or you aren't.
Maybe.
Only a little pregnant.
Maybe you could be on the right side on that one. I feel you on the whole absolutes. I do feel you on there's a lot of absolutes. And I would say that, again, this feels more to me like a way to pander to a kidless market. And that pandering kind of knows no nuance or gray area and cares not to.
Right.
And we also live in this moment where snark is kind of just how people know how to communicate, and being shitty and mean is just the way of language now.
Yes.
So it's like look at the way people talk on social media, especially when it's interactions with people you don't know and you want to comment.
Oh, the
social media interactions. You're effing public persona. You say the wrong thing on one of your shows, I'm sure your social media feed is filled with a lot of people that tell you to go fuck off.
Oh yeah, totally.
They would never in real life walk up to you and be like, "Hey, no, you a short Asian broad, go fuck yourself." No one's gonna say that to you in real life.
No, it's keyboard warriors, right? So I mean, that's.
But that's what I'm saying. That's like part of this thing that we have right now, where it's just kind of in the way that people talk.
When you don't foster, like, for example, the Europeans, I mean, we keep going back to them, but it's because they do foster an environment where kids are welcome and kids are normal. Kids are normalized and welcomed. Therefore, families are welcomed, that people are a little bit more civil to each other. Whereas here we have stratified every whatever label you want to put on yourself, right? Like single working mom or trad wife or whatever. We've just separated everybody into their own little encampments, and everybody talks into an echo chamber of their own social media circle. So we've like fostered this environment where there's no community, no family. And these are oftentimes the same people that complain about the system breaking apart families by jailing, you know, men of color, or you know, just like these are the same people that complain about that. But then they're going to go off on how dare that woman bring her baby to this, you know, shop.
It's like, has that ever happened to you where you were with your young son, or do you get a chance? Look, again, when you work and there's two incomes, it's hard just to go out in general. Let's be honest. And I'm not talking about to a restaurant, just out.
Yeah.
Do anything. Because it's always, look, I'm going to go get the food thing and you stay here with the kid thing.
Yep.
One of you says that all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's you, or we're going to sit here with the kid thing and we're going to app the food thing. Right.
Yeah.
That's just going out.
That's today, right? That's the date night.
That's date night. Yeah. We're going to sit here. Maybe he'll go to sleep and you won't. And you won't have the don't touch me pants on.
I always have the don't touch me pants on. I'm
wearing them right now.
I am wearing them right now. Jason.
You pull them over your fucking head.
Stop talking from your patriarchy, my brother. Women were afforded the right to wear pants. Project,
I was taught to project that way as a singer. Speak from your patriarchy. Bring it from the patriarchy out. Let everyone know that you're a horrible man.
Dude, COVID changed everything for me. Like caring about, like putting lipstick on a pig right now.
I didn't know which Manila I was going to get. So just so you guys know, Manila goes,
I combed my hair.
She goes, which Manila are you going to get? And I was like, first of all, I'm scared that we're talking like this. Because I didn't know that Sybil was the person I've been communicating with for months. And then I saw a video of you you did for your own show, not on air videos, like a behind the scenes thing. And you weren't like all made up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, is she gonna get made up? Are we gonna get rollers? A cigarette behind the ear. Beating the kid as he
runs. Shut up. No. I mean, I actually combed my hair and I applied some lipstick so I can look presentable. This is me being presentable, but I am wearing sweatpants. Oh, I am a t-shirt. Sure. COVID changed that. I don't wear.
Was it COVID or was it once the kid came out and you looked over at that dude?
No. Anywhere? No. Because I always thought, okay, I'm already an older mom, right? So, you know, I was almost 40 already, you know, when I had him. So I was like, okay, I need to look good. I need to look extra good because, you know, society, they're like, this is what an older mom looks like. No, fuck you. This is what an older mom looks like. So I was like, no, I'm going to look good. And, you know, like I used to care about my appearance, and then COVID like 4 years ago just kind of changed everything.
Were you
and
going now on air? Were you going on air on RT? Just like, fuck it.
No. I mean, I had to, it's like in my contract that I have to like look a certain
really?
Way. Yeah. So,
oof. That's why I can't get a real job in media.
Like otherwise, like this is more or less, I mean, maybe not the lipstick, but this is what I otherwise like look like. But I mean, but like a t-shirt and sweatpants because of COVID. I used to at least wear jeans before. I'm trying to integrate jeans back into my lifestyle choices.
But are you wearing jeans from what era? Are you wearing jeans from like the 90s? Are you wearing flare jeans?
No, not flare.
Low-rise flare jeans?
No, I've always liked.
They're back, by the way.
I told you that.
I didn't know how to clear that sample. Okay. Manila told me that flare jeans are back.
It's not totally like bell-bottom flares. It's more like the back. So I've always been like baggy 501 Levi's, ripped Levi's, you know, like comfy, right? Mm-hmm. Comfy jeans. I hated the skinny jean trend.
So you don't wear the tight jeans?
I mean, I had them, but I mean, mostly probably just wore like yoga pants, like in lieu of like skinny jeans, because skinny jeans are so restrictive and just horrible. So generally though, I always wore like, I've never given up my ripped Levi's from the 90s. Never. Had them always, and they're back in style. But we're also like 25, 30 years out. Fashion's come full circle.
Look, this
even
is
the
guy.
Mom jean that comes
this
up.
This is my
here.
Guy right here. Andrew Robles, you're my guy. 5'11 squad. That's how I'm right. I'm wearing 5'11s right now, Manila.
Levi's are back. They're selling the button flies, all that stuff is back.
I get it, but look, I have one style of pant. And that's just what I'm going to wear until I die now because I'm that old. And that's
I mean, I'm right there with you. I am all about the comfort even before. And I was kind of always a tomboy, right? Like what you see on TV, me in like dresses and hair all made up. That's TV me not dropping F-bombs and not, you know, like safe for work, Manila. Real life Manila has to work hard. Different. Not to do that, to be closer to TV Manila as a mom, because, you know, the kids parrot everything that you say. So, you know, that's, but again, like I digress.
Baggy when I'm in jeans DC, when I'm in DC,
baggy jeans.
Are you going to have baggy jeans on?
Yeah. And probably like, I'm looking at like my checkered Vans right now, that's like my uniform. Okay. Check, like it's like old, ripped, slightly baggy Levi's, checkered Vans, or maybe some New Balance or maybe some Chucks or whatever. But
do you look like you're about to start breakdancing?
No, breakdancing looks very different. I probably look though more like I listen to the Beastie Boys for sure.
Because what you sound like to me is like half of the Asian women that I knew that danced. Like, really? Break dancers.
But we didn't have that in SoCal. You're NorCal.
I am. I'm from the Bay.
I wouldn't know. Yee! I wouldn't know. We don't have that. For me, that's just more
not
of
as
like
much. Not as much.
You're alternative kids.
Yeah, not as much. If you would have grew up in the Bay,
skater,
it would have been a very different thing.
It was more of like the skating scene for us in SoCal.
If you grew up in the Bay, you'd probably be a professional breakdancer right now. You'd be one of the, what are those people in Vegas?
Jabberwockies?
What? The Jabberwockies.
I don't know. What's that?
You don't remember the Jabberwockies on the MTV? They won an MTV dance thing, and then they got their own Vegas show that's been there. It's been in New York, I think. It's been there for years now.
Jabberwockies? No.
Yeah. They're a breakdance crew, and they wear the little masks.
No.
They're actually from Southern California. I think they're from San Diego. I forget.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I thought you guys were famous for that. Not us in SoCal.
There's tons of dance crews from the Bay, and some of the more famous ones that went on to be big time choreographers are from actually the city I'm from, Richmond, California.
Oh, yeah. Our people in SoCal are skaters and surfers. I mean, it makes sense, right? So that's kind of like, I look like I should be walking around LA. Out here in DC. So
do you always yell out West Coast in DC all the time for no reason?
I used to.
throwing up gang
the West Side. People are like, what is that?
Wrong with that woman?
What are you doing? But no, you'll see. Everybody's
because your husband's not from DC, right? Is he from DC?
No. He's a good old boy from the South. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, very, man. Very different.
That poor man.
Yeah,
he like, signed very, up for this.
Yeah.
Oof.
No, I signed up for that.
No, don't try to turn it around. He signed up for that. He signed
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Yeah, I told. You know, I didn't lie about who I was.
Look, shout out to the husband right now. You shall remain nameless. Just shout out right now. He's putting up with a lot.
No, I do a lot. I'm not
you
a trad
made
wife.
One from scratch snack.
I cook meals from scratch.
The sign.
I don't do dessert though.
Of a good wife is if you shit out 15 kids and can make Pepperidge Farm cookies from scratch.
I don't bake though. I don't bake. I cook. Mm. I like savory. I'm Lao, man. Put some fish sauce in that.
Somebody said, does her ride have hydraulics?
Yes. Dude, I'm from Whittier at the border of East Los. I used to work at the In-N-Out store 49 on Whittier Boulevard. Bum, 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 and the lowriders going by. Boom, 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 boom. That's legit. That's like real life.
Well, now you guys know the sound to make Manila start breakdancing.
No, I don't break dance though. We don't do that in Southern California. I'm like, no, I don't know how to do that. I wish.
Like rerun.
I don't know how to do that. You probably know how to do it more than me. Like,
is that a black? Is it you making black jokes?
That's right.
Is that what you're doing?
Absolutely. I don't know how you even were able to email me with my black filter on the.
I had been emailing the wrong person for the longest
I know.
Time, and she goes, "I'm not getting any of your messages." And I'm like, there's no way she's not getting these messages. So I said her email was racist. And then she said that she had a black filter on it. And I was like, I can believe that. I was like, nah, I believe it. Notice she doesn't have any black people come on her show. See?
Wait, which show?
Any show. What black person comes on your show? Cornel West don't count.
How would you not count Cornel West?
Too light.
You doing the paper bag test
now? I'm paper bag testing your guests.
Okay. So my previous co-host at Sputnik, we co-hosted together every day for like a year and a half. Black.
And then what happened? What happened after that year and a half?
Black.
You're like too black, too strong.
And then I...
That's what you fucking said.
Then I went and created a new show with a white dude. That's what happened.
You're like, oof, I did my diversity training for the day.
I did my DEI show. Yes.
Like, my, the ratings sure did skyrocket once I got out of this black shit.
No, we used to argue all the time because he was, I actually pulled him away from like the, I guess you would call him a liberal, Democrat, liberal-ish. Mm-hmm. Kind of pulled him away.
Who's this black person? Do we know this? Are you not allowed to say their name?
Oh, he's on the radio. Jamarl Thomas.
That guy?
Yeah. I pulled him away from his like crazy liberal. I love JT.
I don't know him. So let me take that back. He might be a really nice man. He might make Oreos from scratch. I don't know that.
I don't think so. I don't know. No. I don't think he cooks. He's a computer nerd.
Look, Manila. That's the black guy? I mean, he's got a black ass name. That might be one of the blackest names in America. I mean, you're not getting a lot of callbacks with that name. This must be a misprint.
Jamarl. Jamarl Thomas. No, he's great and he's super smart and I love him to pieces, but you know, he's obviously. So, I relax some of my black filter.
I didn't even know you had a show with that guy. That's how I segregated did. that the internet was. They wouldn't let the rest of America see you and that unpronounceable named black man on the air.
People do have a hard time pronouncing his name.
He has a hard time pronouncing his name. Who the fuck made that name up?
Mama Thomas. Who is a sweetheart? Diane, if you're watching this.
I'm so mad at you.
We love you, Mama Thomas. Oh, and she's from the other.
You can't have a show with black people.
Other Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, Richmond.
The original Richmond.
Oh, the original. This now.
He's
see,
from
now,
the original.
Now you got to have, now me and Jamarl Thomas got to have some Biggie Tupac shit because of you, huh?
Two separate. No, because you're my second Jason. Second black Jason.
See how she puts us all in the category, people.
I got a white Jason, too.
See the categories. Mm-hmm. I just want you guys to understand how media really functions.
Well, look, because it's true. You need guests. You need to be like, do I need like a straight laced white Jason or like a funky black Jason for this?
This is why I don't get put on those shows because they're like, oh, we don't know what kind of black guy this is.
Right. So, well, you know, that's different. And it's, dude, your name is Jason. There's 80,000 Jasons.
It was the most popular name between 76 to 78. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and because I know, I can't even count. I literally can't. At least five Jasons. At least. Mexican Jason, two black Jasons, a white Jason, a half Asian Jason.
There is no Mexican Jasons. They're only Jadens.
No, Jason. Not true. Had a roommate. Mexican Jason.
Jason, the roommate. Yeah, this is also how you can tell that we are of a certain generation because we name the person's ethnicity with their name.
Without any malice.
No, it's just who they are. There's so many friends I grew up with. Their identifier was like, right. It was like, oh, it was at Mike's house. Like, Mike who? We could have said Mike? The last name. They had different last names.
Right.
Like Mike S or Mike Y. Like, no, was it black Mike or your white Mike?
Right.
Always.
Right. Mexican Jason or black Jason. Who are you talking about? Like, and it was never back then. It was okay. It was acceptable. And it like, it's probably not now, but doesn't matter. That's, you know, it's where Jason, you know what this means, right? It's like when old white people got to that stage where they're, let's say the early 2000s, they were starting to die off, right? And they're like 80 years old, right? In the early 2000s. And they were still using the term colored. This is our colored people moment that we're like calling our friends by their ethnic identifier instead of using their last name.
I still do it.
Yeah, because that's like our colored person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a generational
thing.
I say
a lot of bad words I shouldn't say. I'm trying to get out of it.
Trying to do that too, but
I'm trying.
I managed to keep a lid on it on TV and on the radio, but that's because the FCC, like the threat of having like a $10,000 fine placed on you, make sure you don't drop F-bombs.
How much of a fine is it? It's
like $5,000, $6,000. It might be lower now, but it can be up to like $10,000.
Jesus.
Yeah.
If
so
you
when
you
have
say, another,
that
I know this
hovering
is like,
on your head.
If you were on air and you had a horrible guest.
And it happens.
And you were just, man, fuck this guy. Would you get it like, fuck? Like if someone was just saying some out of pocket bullshit about like women and their place in the world and.
Oh, no, I've been doing this for so long, Jason, that people can say whatever. And I'll just sit there and smile and be like, and I'll push back politely one way or another.
Yeah.
But no,
but you could never, you would never like, man, fuck, like I don't make enough money. Fuck this dude.
No, you just kind of learn composure.
Do you right? just wait till the, do you wait till they go cut? And then
yes.
you go, hey, fuck right off.
Oh, when you're in commercial break.
You go, you tell someone to fuck right off?
No, not to the guest. I mean, I'll complain to like the producers and stuff in they're in my ear and they'll be like, what'd you think of that? Fuck that guy. That I never want him back. Like, fuck that guy. Okay, we're back in 5.
Can Welcome I back come to on your show yeah. just to make you that angry?
But nobody really does that anymore after so many years of doing this and hearing everything from everybody hearing. I mean, I guess that works for me as a mom. That's helped me, I think, as a mom, that I can just tune out my son being like, blah, 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 blah. And this blah, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yes, honey. Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I was a guest on someone's show and lost my shit on someone's show. I lost my shit bad on someone's show.
No one can really get me over the top.
Right off.
Did you hang up and get off the show?
If I didn't, they took me off. They said something that I found extremely offensive, and it was me and my co-host, actually. And my co-host was trying to keep some sort of professional composure. Because he actually has a very different background and upbringing than myself. He has a very, very middle class upbringing and went to like fine universities. And I'm a junior college dropout from not that place. And I was like, fuck this dude for talking this way to both of us. And you're being extremely disrespectful to all working class and poor people.
Oh.
At like this thing that you're, you know, really making out to be something that it's not. And, you can fuck right off. You can fuck right off so hard. And wasn't my brightest moment.
Not your finest moment, Jason.
But, you know, fuck them.
But I mean, it's the internet. You can get away with that, right? Like, again, you learn composure when you know that there's thousands of dollars in fines from the FCC hanging over your head. It will make sure that those words don't slip out of your mouth.
I might have, if had that been over my head, I was a guest too, so it wouldn't have been my fine. Had that been over my head, I might have waited, maybe. But in that moment, it was just like so disrespectful. It was so disrespectful.
Oh, I've had people, yeah. Like, and I've managed to push back in a polite and stern way with facts versus, like, I had somebody, an economist, many, many years ago. On the show that, and I would venture to say he's extremely conservative, not what we would consider like far right, or it's not like that. We're talking about old school conservative, very, very Republican economist. And he was making a point about he was trying to basically say, he was implying that like Black people are draining the welfare system, the whole welfare queen argument.
Oh yeah, right? Charles Murray on.
No. Different economist. But I was starting to boil as he was talking, because you know, you don't it's not a confrontational show. You want to let the guest get their point out. And I was starting to boil and I pushed back politely. And I that made me mad, but I pushed back politely with simple facts that I said, no, if you're talking about straight numbers, you're talking in percentages. Percentages don't really, you know, I'm sorry. No, he was saying how Black people as pure numbers are draining the whole welfare system and this and that and the other thing and all this implied, not so implied, but not so hidden naked racism. And I kind of snapped back with some numbers and I said, well, no, actually, if we're talking pure numbers about who's draining the system, mm-hmm. it would be white people. Because yeah. at that point, we're talking 10, 12 years ago, I said, because at that, you know, white people are still 65% of the U.S. population still identify as white. So as a percentage, they're going to be more of them on welfare. So you can't say that Black people are the ones draining. But again, I had to keep composure, but I pushed back. And that actually made him angry because I started using his words against him.
Mm-hmm. How dare you, woman?
How dare you economy words him? Mm-hmm. So,
and have a vagina.
That probably that too. And I'm a little Asian, little yellow lady, you know, so he kind of didn't like that, I'm sure. But I never had him back on the show. But because I couldn't be like, you fucking racist dick. wanted to in my head. But when you have the threat of the FCC hanging over you, fining you, you better learn a better way to respond. Which has helped me. In motherhood.
That's the one thing we didn't admit about kids. Sometimes you want to look at your kid and say, hey, you can F off too.
No. In your lead in at the very beginning, mm-hmm. you were saying, you know, how people like your kid is the best. And mm-hmm. No. I'm not like, I know my son's strengths. I know his weaknesses. I love him to a bazillion pieces for all his perfections and his flaws. And I know I'm not the, you know, I'm a magical birthing vessel. You know, I'm not that woman. So I recognize, like, I don't believe like my son is the best and every kid's annoying. Like I'm not that person. Some kids are fucking annoying, but that's not the kid's fault. It's the parents' fault. But that's, again, the further destruction of society and the support for families. And there's so many like this topic is so multi-layered. It's not just the hashtag treat yourself or the or the me generation that says we, you know, like we care about the economy. We care about the climate. We care. And then they're like, but I want to do me. I want to get me. So.
Yeah, everybody wants to do. We're in the generation of narcissism and me right now. It's a very narcissistic me moment, and I don't know how we're going to get out of it. And I think it's just been getting worse since the 70s. If that's the first me generation in the 70s, it's just been getting worse with every was generation it? Post that. Yeah.
Why?
Why was it the me generation?
Yeah.
It's when hippies stopped being about togetherness and started becoming yuppies. And worried about themselves, moving out of the cities to the suburbs.
So would that
start marketing towards the individual and not people?
Wouldn't that be the Gordon Gekko like 80s greed is good?
It's all of that. Look at the 70s. It gets worse in the 80s. I don't think it gets better in the 90s.
Yeah, it's gotten progressively worse.
I think this iteration of it is like peak. It's all about me. Because we have something we didn't have in all those generations before. You didn't have this echo chamber. We say echo chamber, but think of it. Let's not say echo chamber. This sounds even more disgusting. You have a massive mirror of just you. Echo chamber sounds great, but it's a.
But then that requires other people to hear it.
It's a massive mirror of you.
That's And
it's like, ooh, look at me in this angle. Look at me here.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, look at me like this. One leg up.
I don't do
up.
The selfie. Oh, shit. Look at me posing with my the thinking man.
Right? Mm. I can do, what I need to do. It's me in the mirror all the time with social media.
That's true. That's true.
And instead of you going, oh, you know what? I think I look good today. There's a bunch of people, some you don't know, saying, hey, Manila, you look good today. And it's so awkward because that's a whole nother show. We don't have to get into it, but it is an awkward reality to live in where even on your worst day, like you ever see people that post stuff? I saw a video today. I didn't send it to you for whatever reason, where this young lady is crying about her eyebrows. And I was hoping it was going to be like the Mexican lady getting her eyebrows. Have you seen that video where the Mexican lady is like, the guy goes, okay, you did a lot of overthreading with your eyebrows, and I'm going to bring some stuff back. So he tattooed eyebrows on her. Have you seen that video? So he removes the thing so she can see it. She goes, you better fix this right now. You have me fucked up. You better fix this right now. I'm catching a case. You ever seen that one? And she's all gangstered out and shit. And he tattooed her eyebrows because she was like, you know, chole it out. And so she threaded him to nothing. But they didn't look bad. They looked normal. But she wasn't used to seeing herself with eyebrows.
And so I
thought I was going to be one of those videos where it was like somebody and the girl's like, and then did my eyebrows. And oh, my God. Oh, my God. And she's just crying, like bawling with that crying where you can't speak. You go like that kind of crying.
It's not
right?
crying.
Snot, thank you, snot crying. And she moves her hand and they look fucking normal.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, is this one of these cry for attentions?
Yes.
I'm going to get a bunch. Or there's another thing people do. This black guy, very normal looking black, kind of a Jamarl Thomas looking black guy. I'm fucked.
Jamarl, are you hating on
if you're watching, I'm fucking with you. I don't know you. I hope you don't live in DC because the last thing I wanted Jamarl
Thomas. He does.
I don't want him coming to the show trying to fight me. Hey, you the motherfucker that was talking that shit? That's the last thing I need is Jamarl Thomas walking in with like 15 big niggas.
He's like 6'3".
Yeah, I don't need that big nigga walking in with 16 of the big niggas. Like, hey, you the motherfucker that was talking that shit? Say it to my face, motherfucker.
You don't like my name?
Say my name right, motherfucker. I don't need Jamarl Thomas smoke in my life.
No, he's not. He's so cool. He's great.
But he's like a regular looking black guy, and he says in a very professional voice, he goes, "What job do you think I'd be good at?" And that's the whole video and the comment section. And it's a mess. It's got like over 100,000 comments.
Is that like the woman that did the "What name would you give me"?
Yeah, I sent you that one, right?
Yes. And people are awful. People are fucking awful. You're raised by fucking wolves, man. Like
this, the comment section in this kid's, I would say 95% of the comments were racist. The first comment said cotton picker. The next comment was felon. And then it was like felon, 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 right? All this shit.
No one said like football player, basketball player.
No, he's in a car. But I thought about it. I was like, God, this is why would anyone subject themselves to this? I was like,
so he's so plain Jane black dude.
This is engagement. How does a regular ass black dude? He's not funny. He's not charming. He's not super good looking. He wasn't wearing anything unique. He can't, you know, all the shit that you need to do to be famous nowadays, or doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to fucking suck 9 dicks at once. What do you have to do to be famous? Light himself on fire? Like all the shit you got to do to be famous. He was like, I can't do that. But you know what I can do? I can say one innocuous statement. Hey, what job do you think I'd be good at? It's a stupid statement. You're sitting in a car. I don't know. Fucking Uber driver. I don't know. That's not racist or rude, but it's like, I don't know what the fuck you do, dude.
Like,
and every comment was people couldn't wait to call him the N-word and all kind of other shit.
I'm not a commenter. I don't know. This
is part of that looking in the mirror moment of how beautiful I am, how special I am. It's like that
pointless post.
So much engagement. He got so much engagement on that post that he's a thing.
It's a pointless post. But here's the thing, right? We are the younger, you and I anyway, because we're close in age. We're like the last little batch of Gen X. And that would, I mean, I guess our, at least my parents are boomers. But they're the younger of the boomers, but they're boomers nonetheless. And they, that it was that generation that would have raised, or even the older Gen Xers, they would have been the ones to raise the young millennials and Gen Zers to be like, you're so special. You're special individual, like a snowflake. You're so perfect. You're my perfect snowflake.
If you put a post up right now, though, in your don't touch me pants, right?
My everyday pants.
You don't touch me pants. Don't say any. Don't put a fucking. How do I look? Don't just you in the don't touch me pants with a rolling pin in one hand. Just because you can beat your kid with it. and a cigarette like this and the other.
Like Peg Bundy.
Like Peg Bundy. No makeup, no Peg Bundy hair, just fucking regular ass, shitty hair. I guarantee you, and you know this, you get so many comments of people telling you how beautiful you were. How wonderful you were.
Really? I don't look at shit like that.
There's women on the internet right now. They're not doing anything special. We watched one video where a chick just went to fucking Home Depot in yoga pants. Had over
that was the video?
Views. Her going to Home Depot. She didn't clap her ass cheeks at the fucking paint aisle.
She didn't stand up a pole and twirl on it or anything.
She didn't fucking have yoga pants so tight you could see her muff in it. No, none of that. It was just, she looked very normal. And she walked into a fucking Home Depot. The things people say, I don't know if it speaks to the thirst of us incels online.
I don't get any of that. I don't get what has happened to society. Like, the descending into this weird mindless spiral on one hand, and then on the other hand, like the decadence of I'm so fabulous, look at me in my yoga pants at Home Depot.
If everybody on the internet keeps telling you that you and your PJs are hot, maybe you're gonna believe that you're that hot. Some people even send you money. Yeah, I'm not even talking.
I don't get that. Like, I barely use social media. I'm just, I look at stuff, but I'm like, I barely post anything, only for my family because they're on the other side of the country in California. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like, I took my son to go do this. Like, here's him painting something, you know, learning guitar. Like, or, you know, here's me on the set, you know, shaking hands with so and so.
Would you get mad when I come to DC if I teach your son how to play The Beginning to Hot for Teacher by Van Halen?
I would love for him to be interested in playing guitar more. I would not be mad.
We can arrange that.
I would not be mad. I'm all for like music instruction, especially from a black dude.
Vanilla's gonna be like, so do some Stevie Wonder shit there, Jimi Hendrix.
Jason, you got a keyboard, right? Come on.
This is the greatest statement right now. Thank you for the statement. Become an influencer or become a troll. Make your choice.
Really? That's a thing?
That's what it is. That's what it is. Either you're gonna influence.
Oh, like if you're online.
Shit. Yeah.
Oh, like your online life. Either you're an influencer or a troll.
Yeah. That's what you're gonna be.
No, I'm an online creeper.
Did you see what this person says? Nuri Yang says, "Don't let him teach your kid Van Halen."
Listen to worst stuff I've had playing on Spotify.
This here's another great comment. Thank you, Lula. It's Universe 25, the Rat Utopia experiment. It's what happens when you have surplus with no downward redistribution. Oof.
That's insightful. Oof. That's insightful. When you confuse everybody about purpose and life and like, again, and you know, I guess because we're friends that it's easy to talk this long, but like, I know I got to get to my kid pretty soon. I think he's already
awake.
He should be asleep. It's very quiet, so I'm guessing he's already asleep.
No, that means him and your husband are doing something they have no business to.
Or that.
They're building the biggest fort right now.
Or that.
With everything that you tell them not to touch.
That's the fear. Because you know when it's eerily quiet, either everybody's asleep.
Yeah.
Or they're doing something really bad.
No business doing.
Really bad.
No business doing. Again, shout out to your husband right now. Whatever he's doing right now, I support it fully. And I hope it's the kid on top of something that you would yell at him for being on top of, and they're jumping off of it.
Oh my God. Right, I don't know. It's too quiet. I would hear it. So I think they're asleep. My guess is they're asleep. Luckily he doesn't have school on Friday, so he's allowed to, if he's up, he's allowed. But yeah, this is, I feel like because we have we've de-stressed the importance of family and then by extension, community, the commenter that you just read there. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've also removed purpose and purpose as a whole, right? To the point that we're now fucking posting videos of us walking into Home Depot. Like, you're not J-Lo going to Home Depot. Like,
I don't give a fuck if she's going into Home Depot. Is she going to do the fucking dance from Living Color?
But look, as a fly girl.
And anybody can go to fucking Home Depot.
No, but the difference is there. I forget what publication, and you're going to have to help me. Maybe it's like the New York Post or I don't know. It's one of these publications that had a celebrity section that said celebrities are just like us. And the paparazzi in L.A. would take pictures of like Drew Barrymore going to the grocery store, you know, or. I'm serious. So this is like early 2000s, right? Like Drew Barrymore had just cleaned up and all that stuff. And I distinctly remember this. She was like at Whole Foods. Like in her sweatpants and her hair, like in a top knot, you know, like whatever. It's Drew Barrymore. And she's just doing life. And there was a whole like section of that paper. They would put pictures of celebrities doing normal things. We have lost, like we fucking lost the plot, man, in this whole country. Everybody writ large has lost the plot that we've lost the sense of family, by extension, community, by extension of that, purpose. It just all ties in together. And to the point that, like, you're not Drew Barrymore at Whole Foods. Why do we care?
Everybody, but that's, I agree. But my whole thing is everybody now is Drew Barrymore at Whole Foods. Back to the whole, you're either empty or a troll. And that's why then I'm great. It's so disheartening because you're a media personality to some degree, I guess I am, but
you are.
I understand the hierarchy of fame and notoriety. And I know where I sit on that. So I'm never out thinking that I'm going to get recognized. And it feels like every time I go out, especially in a place like LA, I feel like everybody there thinks they don't want to get recognized. Like, you're nobody.
Like,
you're Joe Nobody. Who gives a fuck about you, dude? Like, calm the fuck down. It was another reason why I've never really been a fan of making the LA move.
Well, I mean, I'm from there, so I don't know any different.
It's a natural hate. It's a natural hate.
Yes, I don't know any different. It's just Lakers. Where I'm from.
Yeah, I get it. You guys are all there's beautiful people in Los Angeles.
There's beautiful people everywhere.
The most beautiful person in the world is going to fucking take your dry cleaning. The most beautiful person in the world is going to park your car.
No, the most beautiful people that I doing regular jobs are at the fucking Rome International Airport. everyone looked like a fucking Versace model. I was like, men and women. Like, the girl at the ticket counter, I was like, why? How are you not a model? Like,
so fine they made you feel ugly?
I was just like, oh my God, you're literally like a Roman goddess. Like, what the what? I mean, and then I looked everywhere and I was like, the men are all like tanned and like big green eyes. You're like, whoa. And then the women were all this olive complect, just beautiful people everywhere. I was like, LA is not the land of the beautiful. That is false. We have too many damn good tacos for everybody to be fit and beautiful. So that is a false narrative. Rome Airport. Not even a
Arlo
joke.
Arlo Fantastic says TIR field trip to Rome International. This sounds like
Rome, investigatory matter. I'm serious. I was blown like the guy helping you with your bags and stuff. And I'm like, why do you look like this? Like, how are you people not all like models somewhere? Like, what is happening? What is happening here? Blown away. Of all the airports I've traveled through as a journalist, that like, it was literally an airport full of beauty. Like, I thought this was like some joke.
That's
they employed beautiful people.
Because I remember the first time I flew Jet Suite X. Have you ever flown on Jet Suite X? You're in DC, so probably not now.
No.
That's the small airport, but it's like it's not at the airport, and it's the small planes. They don't fly that far.
Oh, I don't like those. No.
But no, they're not propeller planes. They're just they're old decommissioned private jets.
Mm.
So maybe 24 people on a plane, but you don't go in the airport. It's a little more expensive. It feels fancy, but I remember being in there and thinking, I think everybody in here is smuggling dope. Because they don't check your bag. You don't go through a regular bag check.
Well, those loopholes are built for that, specifically for that.
Oh, I felt like everybody there either had keistered way too much dope or.
Yeah.
It was the funniest flight I had ever been on.
Everyone
and I was leaving
quiet.
A dope-filled music.
Was everyone quiet and they looked constipated?
They were all like fucking just like, oh, is everything cool? Are you cool? I'm cool. Oh. Are you cool? We're all cool, right? We're cool.
That's weird.
Okay. You know what I mean? That kind of vibe.
Oh, I've never been around
but
that.
But I'll tell you this: if you get a chance to fly it, I don't know if they have it in the east where you are.
Hmm.
I hate airports. I just get anxious in them. I fucking hate I hate all of everything about an airport.
Hmm. Okay.
Going to a place that's not an airport. It's like a lounge. Oh, it makes flying so much fun. Speaking about kid friendly places, that was my kid's first flight was on that.
Oh, how cool.
A ball. This one lady thought that our kid was just so calm and quiet that she came and like hung out with me and his mom for a while because there was, she's, oh, he just seems so nice.
See, that people like that are kind of dying out. People are hating on, I feared this, like on our first flight when he was an infant to go visit my family in California, that he might cry the whole flight, right? Because he's an infant human, they cry. And people, because society has gotten so curt and short and awful, right? Mm-hmm. That I was like, oh, please, God. I was like, oh, please, God. Like, when we go on, okay, safe flight. And please don't cry, though. People are going to, like, start bitching and moaning. And I don't want to be, obviously, I don't want to be a thorn in anybody's five-hour flight to Los Angeles, right? And have a crying baby. And I don't want to deal with a crying baby either. But it happens, right? But luckily, that first flight, he was.
Who's in a plane without headphones in 2024? That's what I want to know.
But I've seen other videos of people being just god-awful to moms with new babies, and it's like what kind of selfish fuck are you? It's a baby, and if you don't want that kind of nuisance, go get rich and go fly private. Otherwise,
or just put fucking headphones on and they go away just like that. What a novel concept.
People are awful, and I've seen videos of like moms crying, you know, like on the planes because their babies are crying and people are bitching. It's just awful. It's just awful. And at least I feel like, and I hate airlines, carriers, in particular, like per se, like them, but at least the flight attendants are usually very good with children and calming these assholes down that don't understand that it's stressful on the kid. It's stressful on the mom, the dad, the parent, whoever is there with the baby. It's stressful on them too, but it's because people lost compassion. We've lost all sense of compassion. We've lost all sense of empathy.
But doesn't it mean that you also live in this weird world of you? Like, look, if I'm the last long flight I was on, I was the loudest person on the flight. Me and Ben Burgess and our live show producer Jordan were flying from Palm Springs to New York.
Ooh.
And I wasn't thinking, because I hadn't flown into Palm Springs since I worked at Coachella, and I forgot that it's a bumpy flight.
I've never flown into Palm Springs.
Don't. Fuck it. Fuck that airport. Fuck it up the.
Never.
Fuck it. So hard. Fuck it. And when the plane took off, it felt like God punched it.
Oof.
It felt like God was a bully. And I was like, oh, bitch ass plane. And it just
it shook it.
And it hit it. It went boom.
Oh.
And I screamed.
You.
Because that's what you do.
High pitch.
When it feels like God has punched the plane, you let out what you thought was a manly scream.
But it was.
In my head, I went like this. Whoa. In my head,
that was the voiceover in your head.
In my head, it was like, what's this woman screaming for? In reality, I almost jumped into Ben Burgess's lap, and he laughed very hard. Jordan was like five rows up. She was laughing uncontrollably because I was terrified. I screamed before you get on the plane, as you're taking your shit through the thing, we got to take everything out of your backpack, and they inspect your toothpaste, all that bullshit, right? There's a picture of a plane crashing into the Twin Towers.
Wait, this is like. Not a newspaper you're talking about. You're talking about somebody.
This is at the airport. There's a memorial to 9/11.
Not
so
smart.
The size of the wall.
A mural.
A plane crash. I don't like flying as it is.
Oh, so it's a mural
for a reason. I scream for a reason. Oh my God. I scream because I'm a little bitch on a plane. And when it takes off, I want it to be smooth. And when it takes off, it bumps you. It's like Final Destination. Oh, shit. I get too scared, right? That was the last image I saw before I got on the plane was of
not
a plane smashing into a building. And then next to that is a picture of George Bush. I shit you not. It was so bad. Jordan was making a scene. She was like, what the fuck is this? We're about to get on a goddamn. Yeah.
That's,
Palm Springs, like, baby.
I feel like the PR people, like the marketing company for the airport, didn't think that one through.
That's the memorial at is it the Sonny Bono Airport?
Oh, no.
I mean, look.
Well, at least they're not skiing there.
No skiing in the desert. Unless that's code for booger sugar.
No. No, Sonny Bono, he had the
skis. Yeah,
he had the trees. Yeah. That's so sad.
But seriously, that's what you were so flying out of there was. I don't like Vegas is the same way. Super bumpy. Denver, Colorado sucks to fly into. Super bumpy.
Yeah, but you're flying into the fucking Rocky Mountains.
Exactly. I don't look. I have to get on a plane to DC.
So you're gonna be nervous about this. I know.
And I'm by myself. I have no friends on that plane.
No one to hold your hand if there's
no one's going to hold my hand. So if there's a baby next to me taking a shit, I'm not going to care. I'm not going to give a damn as long as I land in one piece.
Look, I hope you're the guy that gets placed next to the lady with the baby.
She could have halitosis and goofy if she could have all the things wrong and the kid could suck, I won't care. If I'm in the air, I just want to land. I just want to land.
Oh, wow.
We took a flight. We toured in Brazil. I didn't even get up to pee that whole flight. I won't drink water. I just keep my mouth shut. I put headphones on. I tried to sleep.
Wow.
Fuck that shit. I'm not trying to get comfortable on a goddamn plane. It's a plane.
Oh, yeah. I don't care.
I'm like that on the bus, too. I'm trying to get to where
you're,
I'm trying
you're
to go.
You're the pensive flyer, the pensive traveler.
Oh, dude. I'm trying to be kind of like, you okay?
Until
you asked me, I was. But now you asked me, so I think about being not okay. So, no, I'm not. Now I'm about to ask you real intrusive questions about your family life.
Oh, no. I'm not that traveler. So when I'm traveling by myself, and especially before I had a family, I'm very at peace with death, right? Like when it's my time, it's my time, right? But I just hope when it's my time, that I'm not taking everybody else with me on the plane. Right? Like God could be calling me home.
That's the thing. I don't like those people that go, when it's my time, it's my time. Like, look, I get when you want to die, but we're right now with like 180 other people.
Right.
And I need your God to kind of guide you through this one. Is that cool? Are we cool right now? I don't like the fights on the plane. Like I'm watching all these people fighting on planes. I'm like, why are you fighting on a plane? Do you think you're Wesley Snipes?
Was there snakes
on a plane?
Were there snakes on a plane? Why are people fighting?
Why are you mad at it? First, again, all the planes I've been on, people kind of are in their own world. You got in-flight movies. People have their own devices they're fucking tied to.
Yeah, but you've seen on social media the people being awful to one another and even awful to moms. Like, or moms that have younger children that need their own seat, like our children's age, right? Yeah. Where you're not sat together. And one guy made like a big stink about it on social media that he was like, fuck that. I'm not giving up my seat so that lady can sit with her little kid.
What a piece of shit. It's like, dude, you want the fucking kid to sit alone on a plane?
He made a video. So like the mom had to keep, because he refused to switch with her. She had to keep going in between aisles because the kid's like 3 or 4 or something like that.
Oh, my God. It's a baby.
A little kid. But after age 2, they need to get their own ticket. And this guy made a whole he made a whole stink about it. And the flight attendants even, you know, tried talking to him like, hey, we'll give you a voucher for, you know, can you just switch with this lady? And he's like, no, I paid for this seat. This is the seat I want. This is the seat I chose. She should have bought her ticket before or whatever. And to compound that, I think the lady had to buy a last minute ticket because like something bad happened to a family member and she was going wherever she was going. So it was like compounding like the tragedy, right? But this is where we're at about, like you said, like we're not a society anymore that even cares about. We hate children.
They're not in the mirror. They're not in the mirror when you're looking in it. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Where are those kids? Oh, none at all.
Yeah, that guy. Like, if I was a troll, well, I'm not an influencer. I'm not into that. I don't like taking selfies. And I'm not a troll either. Like, it's very few and far that I ever comment. Very few and far. But, like, oh, I wanted to say some things to that man. Like, because like I said, we have lost all sense of compassion. We've lost empathy. That woman was flying for like either a funeral or somebody was in the hospital or something. And she was like crying, posting about it. And the man was like, go ahead, take a video. And he took his own video. I'm taking my own video. And he's over there talking to the flight attendant saying, well, I bought this seat. I booked this particular seat because of blah, blah, blah. And like, what an asshole. What an asshole.
That's some next level douchey. I don't even know how you could think for a. I just wouldn't give a shit. There was a flight. I think it was that tour we did in Brazil. They asked us to move. And planes are. I'm not even that tall. I'm 5'10 and planes are super uncomfortable. And they asked me, my drummer's 6'4. Oh. And they asked us to move our seats. And he brought his girlfriend on this tour. So she wasn't going to sit with us. Okay. And we were like, okay. and ended up being way more comfortable. And I'm like, okay, awesome. Everybody won. And we didn't give a shit.
Right. Like,
because he was like, I'm going to see this chick in like 8 hours.
Right. Take a nap. Go to sleep.
Like, we're all good, dude. We're all good.
But that's like, you know, to your point of like, have we created this society that hates children? And it goes so far beyond, like, you remember, you know, in the 80s, like Club Med, like there's the family Club Med spot. And then there's like the adults only.
Are you only remember Family Fitness?
Yes. Do they not exist anymore?
Fuck no.
Oh.
No. That business model, as adorable as it was, right? Like, hey, you have kids. We have a place for your kids to go while you go work out. You know, it's also the 80s. Satanic panic was a thing. Everybody's scared that everyone's diddling their kids. So,
well,
you know, I think you could probably make one today. But and again, kind of back to this age of kid-friendly spaces and places you might not want your kids. The gym is like a nightclub in 2024. So.
Real? Well, yeah. Yeah. We go to the rec center. So
you're like, we're not. You're like, I'm on RT, not NBC.
Like, dude, I haven't sold out for those big $1 million contracts. So
you don't got that old school Tom Brokaw money.
I still have a conscience. Like I can't. So we're not going to, you know, whatever these private, there are some really high end gyms that are here in DC, that are strictly adults only. No, you know, but at one point I did go to like my husband and I, no, not Equinox. There's like a higher elite, like really, really elite.
Do they just put muscles in for you so you don't have to sweat?
I don't even know because they're so small.
They wouldn't even let you in. I can't a see
in the window. I'm like, what's happening in there? Like, why does this thing cost? I come home, look up how much it costs. It's like $1,000 a month. Like super elite.
For the gym?
Yes, but there's a lot of rich people here. You know, there's a lot of
rich. And those are the dinks. You call them dinks?
I don't know if they're dinks, but I know these are rich people that are going there. I mean, I looked it up. It was douchey. And it was, I mean, seriously, like several hundred, maybe not a thousand, but hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And specifically, it says no kids. Wow. No kids.
I haven't seen a kid at a gym. I haven't seen a kid at a gym since Family Fitness closed. I've never seen a child at a gym.
What I was saying is the gym that when my son was a little bit younger and pre-COVID, the gym that we went to was a big, big gym. And they had like a kids play area with like old ladies, retired ladies that have nothing to do that work for, you know, $10 an hour to look after your kids while you're working out. So that was the closest thing that we had. But then COVID kind of shifted things, and then he got older and wanted to do other things and not be trapped in the kids' play area. So, so now we're at the
is this kid jail?
So yeah,
it's like when you're a kid and you have to go to those places, you're walking down there like Sean Penn in that one fucking movie where he got executed. Dead man walking in, just walking in. Your parents like the guard with the keys jingling.
It's like, here, go with this old Arab lady. Like, we'll be back in an hour.
Yes, because you look at your mom like it's court, and you're like, how long I got this time?
No,
there's a Pilates class. It's gonna be a full 2 hours.
Like, look, I got some yoga to do. Got a couple laps to swim.
Oh yeah,
but, you know,
you're sitting down like, you know, and you're up there with other kids. Like, how much time you got? 45 minutes, brother.
40 more minutes to go. And
selling
then I'm
free. Lunchables like cigarettes.
That was as family friendly as you're going to find in this area for like a gym outside of the rec center. I mean, otherwise there's like Equinox, like you said, and you're right. It is kind of like a nightclub. I don't go to those, so I don't know. But yeah, I used to before I got married, I used to just go to the gym downstairs at the building at RT. So didn't pay for one. Just went downstairs.
And then you decided to reproduce and everything got complicated, right? You would have stayed a dink.
I could have, right? but going back to what I told you at the beginning, even when I was single, rolling around the world, doing my thing, journalist vanilla, I always left the door open to maybe I might want to get married one day. Maybe I want a kid or two one day. I never made it an absolute of like, fuck that. I don't want kids. Fuck children. I never closed the door on anything because personal choices change, taste and things change. Like people change. Life is gray. It's not black and white. There's a lot of gray area in between. So I didn't get married until my late 30s. I didn't have a kid until my late 30s. Like it literally took meeting my husband for me to instantly be like, whatever this is, I want to reproduce. I want this.
But do you ever think that like, had you not right now, those sweatpants would be a little more fitting? and right? Had you not, the underwear might be a little sexier right now. Right now, it has no waistband. The elastic's gone. The elastic's all gone.
No, it's still
wrap.
There.
It's a wrap.
It's
on
still
that.
There. It's
You're
still
lying. There. You're lying to yourself and to America right now.
I am not. I've never lied to America. When I was on the newscast, I don't lie on the newscast, and I don't lie now. I still have elasticity in my underwear.
Look,
I'm many years married and a mom, a working mom.
I know both of you have. His underwear is probably just a waistband and a little bit of thread.
Some string. Just, like whittled away.
It covers just enough. And you're like, why are you wearing a loincloth? Like, this is my favorite pair. It's my lucky ones. You're like, man, if you don't get some new draws.
That is true. But that's guy shit. Girls aren't usually that bad.
Before
that's
you go.
That's usually guy stuff.
I've kept you for 2 hours, so I apologize. Please tell your husband I'm sorry.
I will. He actually just texted.
See, like, that's
I thought okay. It was gonna be an hour. Right. Because he's probably hungry.
If I find out you didn't make a hot dog from scratch.
No, I've got a great easy recipe for semi-fried chicken with almond flour because he's doing low carbs. I have to make him separate food. Like I love carbs.
Can you do a trad wife video while you do it?
I love carbs. Carbs
my
love me.
My husband does not like the carbs, the the gluten from regular flour. So I crush almonds by hand.
Yes. No, God no. But I got a good almond flour fried chicken and air fryer fried chicken.
Oh yeah, see that's your next level bougie.
Air fryer fried. You gotta just spray it.
You know, maybe yeah, that's too
bougie.
Much.
That's just slightly healthier version.
And it's too late for him to eat anyway. It's 11. Can't do that.
Okay, when you see my husband in real life next month, you'll understand why I'm saying he's probably hungry. It's 11 o'clock here.
So we have a super chat question here for you, Vanilla. What's the guest's opinion on the hose? Loyal, not loyal. Explain.
That's a tough one. Okay. If that's the last word.
Then this question gets asked of every guest. Are these hoes loyal?
Okay. Here's why it's tough. Because I believe people can change. I really do. Your taste, your interest, your whatever, people can change. Generally speaking, I would say you cannot make a hoe a housewife. Generally, generally speaking, but that is not an absolute. There are no absolutes in this world.
I thought you were going to say.
No absolutes. So some hoes can reform and become excellent housewives and excellent mothers and excellent whatever. Hell, I've known some that have cleaned up their hoe act so much that they went to law school. And we're from the hood. Okay?
Okay.
So it can happen. So it just be, hoeing is an action, not necessarily a person. I don't think
so. You're going to take the Forrest Gump approach? Hoeing is as hoeing does?
No. I think most people, if you are hoeing, it's just a phase in life.
Okay.
I think most people grow out of it. Male hoe, female hoe, most people graduate from that. Most people. So I think hoes can be boys and girls, guys and gals, theys and thems. It's person to person. And I don't think there's an absolute, but generally speaking, generally, it's hard to make a hoe a housewife.
I don't. Dizzle, you've been giving me shit about not asking the question. I've asked this question of every guest, for the most part, every guest. Kush looks as I sense the hoe within you turn to the dark side of the foss.
I don't even, what's the foss?
The force, that's how he says it.
Oh, okay. I was like, is that a thing?
It's because everybody's making jokes now about, there's a couple jokes on this show that you have to know about. And I don't know how the hoe joke started for the last few
months. So this is like a normal question on the show?
There is one viewer, actually I'm lying. There's multiple viewers that ask the question, are these hoes loyal? And I can't even remember how it started. And they asked it one day when we had a very serious economist on. And he's got this crazy voice. And he's like, what do you mean, hoes? What kind of hoes? And I was like, economic hoes. And I was like, trying to clean it up. And after that, they're like, fuck it. This asshole is going to ask everybody. We're going to make him ask everybody.
Make it fair. And you know, I'll add one more thing. I found out very recently, and I'm mid 40s, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm this age finding out the secret lives of the nerd hoes.
Oh, all the people you thought were like geeks.
Yeah.
And they were just covered in dicks.
Yeah. Because I'm friends with everybody. Like, everybody from high school. Like,
you weren't that close.
Not that close, but I mean, I'm friends. I had no idea. But, you know, kids that were considered this group or that group or whatever. And I never knew. Like, the band geeks. I never knew. Nerd ho. I'm almost 44 years old.
Again,
I just found out.
It's the Forrest Gump
nerd ho,
right? They're like a box of chocolates.
I never knew. Like I didn't know. They were all like hooking up, like all the band nerds. Didn't know. From high school.
I guess they grew out of it because I'm 46 and I can't find any of these women.
You're looking for the band nerd hoes.
Sure. I would love to meet some woman that's like, I love to play the oboe. I was like, oh, that sounds awesome. Want me to jerk you off real quick? Cool. Like, everybody's winning here.
They were all hooking up, the whole marching band. I didn't know. Like, even like, I was like, even so-and-so, the big guy that played like the drums, like, you know, the marching band, dum, 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 like, him too?
I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
We're like 25 years out of high school, and here I'm learning all these stories. I'm like, oh my god, really? Oh. All right. Okay, that band camp shit was real, as it turns out. I didn't know. I didn't know.
The comments people are leaving right now. Someone said, oh man, the guy had strong arms.
Are we talking about the big guy that played the...
Yeah.
What do you call the drum? That sideways drum?
I would call it...
Is it just a drum?
Is it a bass drum? What do you call it?
You know what I'm talking about, right? The guy in the marching band. It's always like some big guy in the marching band that just marches and hits the drum like that.
Look at this comment. Jason, let's join an improv class. I think they're hiding in there.
Oh, that might be true.
I don't... Oh, it is a bass drum? Okay, that's what I thought.
It is a bass drum. Okay, well, that guy. I was like, really? Okay. And then... I was a thespian, so I knew some of the thespian kids got freaky, like the nerd. The
Manila, I think you're calling everybody a hoe because you're trying to. You'd be surprised how many people love the crack. Not tell the truth about your past.
No, I had one high school boyfriend all the way through high school. But I was like a cheerleader, and I was like a soosh. No, I did. I was like all of the, you know, softball player, all that stuff. So
you can't be a cheerleader and a softball player.
There's
too many stereotypical jokes we have to make about one of them.
I was. I made varsity softball my freshman year. So either that says a lot about me or it says a lot about the team. I don't know.
You and the Bad News Bears of fucking women's softball.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I, you know, I know this is like the long answer to are them hoes loyal? I don't know. I am almost 44 years old, just now learning that there were secret hoes. Didn't know.
Secret hoes? Secret Asian hoes? Secret?
Probably
Asian
that too.
Hoes.
I didn't have a whole lot of Asians in my school, so I don't know. Everyone was Mexican. I don't know. But there's like two black kids. Serious. There's like two black kids and like three Asian kids and me looking at the outside because I wasn't like in their chess club or whatever they were in.
Chess club.
I'm serious.
There was a chess club at your high school?
Yeah. It was like,
what fucking high school did you go to?
Poor high school in Whittier.
And they had a chess club?
The Asians must have started it because they were in it.
And they wouldn't let you in?
Well, I don't know how to play chess.
Damn, you're breaking all kind of Asian rules right there.
I don't know how to play chess. I'm bad at math. I'm not shy. And I'm a speed demon driver that will just like... One of my producers...
Are you some Fast and Furious?
Pretty much. One... Let me just say before we go out, like breaking all the Asian stereotypes, I'm not quiet. I'm very opinionated. I'm very open. And again, very bad at math. But one of my producers is a Lebanese guy. Mm-hmm. And first time he got in the car with me here in DC, and maybe you'll experience this, Jason. No, I've tamped it down. But he got in the car with me and he said, he actually got scared. He's a big Lebanese guy, like 6'4", like big guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like in a little Volkswagen Tiguan. And he got in the car and he was scared. And I could see it in his face. He's like, God damn, Manila, you drive like a fucking Lebanese cabbie. No, he said Beirut. He said specifically, you drive like a Beirut cabbie.
So... Would you be mad if people from this show photoshopped your face on different Fast and the Furious characters and put it on social media? Because that's going to happen.
That would be kind of amazing.
I'm letting you know right now. It's going to happen a lot.
I'm okay with that.
You're okay. Did you guys hear that?
I would like to see it.
The photoshopping these people do is pretty funny.
I would like it. I'm okay with it.
So just
but I
get
stopped
ready.
Watching after like the I don't know, I saw the first, maybe the second one.
I don't maybe? Know how many they have now.
I don't know.
The first one, the first Fast and Furious is scene for scene, Point Break. Scene for scene, Point Break. After that, I was like, I'll never watch another one of these.
Huh.
Point Break and then watch the first Fast and the Furious, and you'll be like, you motherfucker, Jason was right. Scene really? For scene.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to have to do that. If I ever get 5 hours to watch things by myself.
Someone says, you know, Fast and Furious is topical because it's about family.
Oh,
it is about, I forgot.
It
about
is about family. Yeah. How do you define a family, right? Like, so it's not always blood. That's true. That's true. It's not always blood.
Well, look, Manila, thank you for hanging out with me. And I apologize for taking up 2 hours of your time.
I've had a blast. I appreciate you having me. And I'm going to drag you on my podcast at some point.
To also talk shit about people we don't like?
I don't know yet. I have to think about it. But that way you can't say I haven't had a black person on my show.
And also, I need you to tell Jamarl Thomas it's just jokes. Again, I don't want to
He's not like he. I don't know if he'll even know. If it ever gets back to him, he's like the most easygoing guy.
But why I ain't
shit. He's like the most easygoing guy. And he doesn't care if you call him Jamont. Yeah. People have called him all kinds of weird, like, things that don't even make sense.
If I, the names I've heard in 47 years of being me, if I heard someone's name Jamont, I would fall the fuck out. I would fall the fuck out in front of their face. I'm getting old enough now where the filter's gone and I just laugh when I hear goofy ass names. And if I heard Jamont, I'd be like, you gotta be shitting me. No way.
I guarantee there's a Jamont out there. But he's, anyway, my buddy, who I just call JT, he doesn't care. People fuck up his name all the time. People fuck up my name all the time. So.
Yeah, but it's way different when your name is Jamarl.
Jamarl Thomas.
Damn, that's a black ass name.
Is it?
Yes, his name just gets so, his name is bad.
I feel like it's Arab based, but I could be wrong.
Word?
Jamarl.
How many Jamarls have you met? You live in an international city?
Not quite Jamarl.
Exactly.
Jamal. People call him Jamal all the time.
That is way better than Jamont. Jamont sounds bad. Jamont sounds like he got warrants. Jamont has some DV charges.
Jamont is out there.
Jamont will steal shit from your house. You'll see him doing it and he'll act like he didn't do it.
There is a Jamont out there. Jamont is there. He's somewhere.
I'm not trying to fuck with Jamont.
Jamont's out there somewhere. Jamont's probably in Richmond.
You're like, hey, can I come over? I'm bringing a friend. It's like, it's not Jamont, is it?
No. Right? Jamont is not in Richmond. I don't know about Richmond, but Jamont is in Crenshaw. I promise you. Promise.
Somebody said you got to call him Jafar.
Jamont
is a Rufus. Jamont is horrible. Jamont.
There is a Jamont. I'm positive. I'm sure of it. I
don't
want to
find him. Don't look for him either, because that's literally looking for trouble.
I found a fat Filipino dude in Brooklyn. Well, he says on Facebook named Manila.
That name does not hit the same way as Jamont does. Jamont Thomas? Jamont Thomas? Then you, when that is your name, you have no choice but to have a 500 credit score. No.
The worst. Where is this conversation going now? Like,
No.
I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore.
There's no Jamont.
There
you just can't do it. You can't do it. It's not allowed.
Some lady somewhere among that her woman. Daughter's unique. Yeah. Look.
It says, somebody says Jamont only wears Star Wars shirts.
Look, you're going to hate this.
Uh-huh.
But like, remember I said there was like three black. No, there's four black kids at my school. The three girls were, two of them were sisters and then their cousin. Shaquita, Laquita, and their cousin Ronica.
Those are names where I can deal with those women. They might be difficult, right?
And I
they
love
might drop
them.
Their son off at the barbershop at 9 a.m. and not pick that nigga up till 2 p.m.
I love them.
They may drive Nissan Sentras.
Shaquita and Ronica
never get the oil
changed. Girl.
That being said, those names do not strike the same fear-filled chord that Jamont Thomas does.
Now you're just being sexist because these are I rattled off women.
You could rattle off men's names that sound fucked up to be damned. Jamarl is a it's a rough name.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Do you have any assistants named Jamarl? No.
I only
that
know
name,
the
I'm
one
telling
Jamarl.
You, I'm sure it was, hey, that man had it rough. But Jamont?
Had a rougher?
Jamont is just, he's just difficult. That's some omen shit. Jamont. Jamont just sounds
sure
like trouble. If my son came home with a black eye from school, I'd be like, was it Jamont? I got to call Jamont daddy. That's how mad I'd be. Because I would know that it had to be Jamont.
The names just don't. I don't know. Nobody's names. I'm Manila. You got Jason. So easy for you to talk. I got Manila.
And you know what
so
I named my kids?
Anybody else's names?
All my kids have regular ass names. Except
Lucky
for the last
you.
One. His name's. People are kind of mean about his name. It's just Whoa. Phoenix, but it's hyphenated.
I am a city. A city. My name is a city.
Look. Do you see this comment? When your name is Jamont, all you know is the good times thing. It follows you wherever you go.
That doesn't happen in my brain. Cause again, I grew up with what was, I presumed a fucked up name. And so everybody else's name that was, would be considered fucked up. Doesn't really, I don't find it fucked up.
That's what did you name your son? It sure as fuck wasn't Jamont. You didn't, it didn't even cross your mind. Didn't even cross your mind.
No.
You know why? Cause you wanted him to have options in life.
Yes. Cause I live in the real world. And I know people judge because not everybody is a Manila and is gonna be like
my daughter's name is something that's a little more common, not common, but I've met other people with this name, but her name is Jayla. Because she was the girl Jason.
Oh, that's cute.
Right?
That's pretty.
She gave me shit again. We were somewhere recently, and they had the keychains with your name on them.
Oh, I never got. I had to
so
get one made.
She did that to me. She goes, I never got one of these. You know why? Because you named me Jayla. And you know how I know you named me? Because mom told me.
Yeah.
She's looking for me right in the eye. But her brothers?
Normal ass names.
Yep.
Regular ass names.
Regular ass names. Yes.
Well, they can find. I never had a keychain except for when my Filipino friends went to visit their grandmas in the Philippines, and they'd bring me back a shirt and a keychain. That's the only way. It's the only way I would get anything that had my name on it because everybody else has got like Christina, Jennifer, Tina. Where's the Manila keychain?
And your son? Does your son have a name you can get a keychain for?
I can.
You know who doesn't? Motherfucking Jamont.
Probably.
And you know
right.
what Jamont does when he doesn't see the keychain name? Has a motherfucking hissy fit, knocks shit down.
Oh, that's yeah. Probably.
They're awful. Doing a whole. I don't know if you're seeing in the chat. They're doing a whole character study of who Jamont is in the chat, by the way.
I made the two box full. So I could see you. So you weren't like a tiny box. I made the whole thing full screen so I could see you. So I'm not seeing the.
And that's what we call equality. Manila, I'm not lying like I did half hour ago. Go. It's almost midnight.
It's time to go.
Have a good night. I will talk to you tomorrow morning.
I will bring you on my podcast talking about something different.
She's lying.
It's true.
$5 says I don't get to go on.
You will go on.
I'll be like, why are you bringing this guy on again? You're like, oh, he wrote this article. They're like, what's the article about? And you're going to tell him what? They're like, it's not controversial enough.
Maybe that might be the conversation.
You know what? If you Photoshop a dashiki on me, they will let me come on. Try that.
That's possibly true.
Try that.
Or a big ass afro.
That might work. But if they see anything I've done, like, oof, they'll be like, this guy might be kind of offensive. He does impersonations of Martin Luther King chasing after white women. Like, yeah, that's what he does.
Okay. Okay. You're kind of talking your way out of not being. Okay.
That's why they should have me on.
You would think, but.
They're like, we want our black people to be this kind of black person. And then if you're smart, you go like this. You go, you guys are being racist because real diversity is diversity of thought.
I agree. But then because they already second guess, right? They're like, Jason, what kind of black is that?
What kind of black name is that? Be like, well, his real name is Jamont.
It's not Cornell.
That's a black ass name. And then raggedy teeth. I'm telling you.
He just has a gap. Give him a break. My God.
I'm fucking with Cornell West. I'm fucking with you. Please don't get mad at us. The last thing I need is Jamarl Thomas and Cornell West coming to fuck
Dr.
me up.
Love Dr. West.
What? Wouldn't that be the most fucked up shit ever if I go to D.C.?
You come to D.C. and both of them. Cornell West is like, my brother.
Brother Jason, I heard you was talking that shit.
You need to be spreading love. He's so sweet. I love him.
That's the last thing I need is Cornell West and Jamarl Thomas.
Love Cornell West.
Trying to fuck me up. And all I got is Adolf Reed with me, who is like 75. That's not where I want to be when trouble comes.
Oh my God.
This is not where I want to be.
This has just gone off like all the rails. Just all. Every rail.
Let him know. Be like, this guy definitely is not afraid of the third rail. He actually kind of, he doesn't teeter near it. He just lays on it.
I had no idea this was going to go this way.
that's what she said.
I don't even know what's happening anymore.
She said that too. That's why I'm single. Someone says Jason gets shot. Dr. West sends his regards.
Cornell. When that happens, it's just Cornell.
Cornell from fucking SAC. I haven't met him in person. He came on the show briefly. He is an extremely charming man. He is disarmingly charming.
Yes.
That is why Cornell West can walk onto any television set with the most far right egomaniac. Besides being a massively intelligent man, he's just fucking charming.
He really is.
So.
Well, because you haven't met him in person. I take my word for it. I don't know if you believe in auras. Dr. West has just good juju, good aura.
You sound Charlie Murphy talking about Prince, right?
Yeah.
He had an aura about him.
He had the aura about him. And he's just, I mean, it's like this aura glowing off his fro. And he's just just so warm. He's warm. You want to hug him. He's just like really warm and just something about him. Very, very, very warm.
I agree wholeheartedly. He just seems, I have nothing bad to say about Cornel West.
Except you make fun of his name being Cornel.
You know he got a black ass name. I mean, he's winning with it.
That's why he's
you've stayed so long. I'm so sorry. Your husband's going to get...
He's going to be so mad at me.
Okay, another Super Chat question. What is your opinion on carrot raisin salad? And then we have to go.
Carrot raisin? I don't think I even know what that is.
First of all, why are you making that face?
What is carrot raisin salad?
Amazing is what it is.
What else is in it?
Carrots. You shred carrots, raisins, and mayo.
Three things?
Lola Fortune, tell her about the mayo. If you're feeling very frisky, you can add pineapple.
Is this supposed to be savory? I'm so confused, right? Is this savory or a sweet thing?
For me, it is just Nuri Yang says, what in the name of holy fuck? I find it delicious.
I've never heard of it.
I love it. It is my favorite salad. And I also, apparently, this is a bad thing. I like raisins.
They're just okay.
They're like, tell her everything. Tell her everything. It's like they have a gun to my head. Tell us Jamont with a gun to my head.
I don't.
So there's a raisin brand they sell in Mexico here. It's different than the one in the States. And I add extra raisins to it.
Raisin brand. Like, I'd prefer not raisins, because then you're just eating carrots and mayonnaise. What is that? Yuck. No. I'm gonna go with no. No.
It's something that I don't make for people. It is something I enjoy for myself.
I've never heard of this food item.
I got it growing up, living with my grandma. She made it for me, and I was like all about it. It was like a treat. So I don't make it for anyone else. I just make it for myself.
I'm probably relieved that all these other people weren't forced to be offered raisin carrot mayonnaise salad.
Apparently it's something that older people enjoy. Do you remember Sizzler?
Yeah.
So remember the salad bar at Sizzler?
Vaguely.
Salad bar at Sizzler had carrot raisin salad, and I would lose my mind at the salad bar. I was like,
I thought that stuff had chicken. No, like chicken salad. I've seen chicken salad with that stuff.
So remember there's different.
Yeah, but without the chicken, then you're just eating fucking mayonnaise and carrots and raisins.
Sounds like a winner to me.
No, I've had chicken salad with those things, but there's other seasoning and stuff in it. Jason.
Yeah.
I think maybe you need to get like a tongue scraper. And like cleanse your taste buds. They sell them. You know,
Look, this is delicious. I don't bother anyone else with it. I'm going to have a house guest coming up. Ben Burgess is coming down here. I will never make him any because people just look at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, minding my own business.
Would you eat it in front of other people?
Yeah, I give no fucks. It's not falling out of my mouth like I'm fucking Jamont.
Yeah, but if you're like eating. No. Oh, that's. That's some,
you guys are so mean.
Taste bud things happening.
I think it's rather good. I think you guys should try it first.
You know that raisins are like the least popular fruit, right?
Well, Johnny Depp said in Benny and June that I went to the theater to go see with two of my black friends that raisins are just sad grapes.
I have to concur. I've never purposely eaten raisins. Like, I'm just going to go buy raisins.
I don't just eat raisins willy-nilly. People think I'm just walking around popping raisins in my mouth. But as an addition to shit, oh, yeah.
I'd prefer not.
Oatmeal.
With raisins?
No. Cinnamon raisin oatmeal?
No.
Even when you got the package and you had peaches and cream and strawberries and cream.
I don't
cream.
Like any of those, no.
You don't like peaches and cream oatmeal?
I don't like any of those. Just the maple brown sugar.
You were only maple brown. That was the last one left after you ate all the good ones.
Mm-mm, I didn't like the other ones.
Little chunks of hydrated or dehydrated fruit.
That's what freaked me out. Like tiny, 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 tiny dehydrated fruit that's going to get rehydrated with my hot. No. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. I'll just eat the real fruit. Just like I'll eat a grape and not a raisin.
I will eat raisins before grapes.
Ugh.
I'm so particular about grapes. So particular.
No, you got brainwashed by the 1980s campaign, the California Raisins. That's what it was. That's what it was.
No, I'm telling you, I grew up with this salad. It was like a treat for me. And as an adult that can buy his own groceries, sometimes I shouldn't.
You add raisins to your
salad. I add raisins to certain dishes that need raisins.
Raisins. Listen to yourself.
Salads. If I'm making salad by myself and there's no one else here, I will definitely throw raisins in the salad.
In a regular salad.
In a regular salad. Yeah.
I mean with like leafy green things.
Yeah.
You put raisins. Okay.
If I'm by myself.
So why do you not do it when there's people around?
Everybody isn't, you know, there's cooking for other people and there's cooking for yourself. When I'm cooking for myself, I'm very different than if I'm cooking for other people. If I'm cooking for other people, I know what I'm going to make. It's going to taste good. I want people to have a good time. If I'm cooking for myself, I experiment more.
Because people are going to be squeamish about raisins.
People are
and they don't want to be rude.
Things. People are so weird about things. And I try to make my when I'm a host. Like my grandmother used to have these big holiday things and all these people would come from like all over the country and she would be known for certain dishes. And then when I started cooking in like the Gulf of Mexico, I liked being known for certain dishes. Excuse me. And getting something down right where you can do it. And when you know you're going to do it, you know you're going to nail it. You know people are going to have a good time and enjoy it. So if I'm going to have people over for something, I'm not going to give you the thing that I like all the time because you're going to be like, this is weird.
And therefore judge you for being weird.
Then they'll be like, why are you bringing me over here for carrot raisin salad? This is fucking odd.
Yes, I would do that. I'd be that right? person.
So I'm not going to
do
that.
What the fuck is this raisin?
Right? Someone said, live your truth. So Jason's about to confess to putting raisins in potato salad.
Oh.
If I had a budget,
it is not a topping of choice. So
if
no.
If I had a budget and I could do little skits, one of the skits that I would do is me going to white people's barbecues and cookouts and putting raisins in their potato salad. Like it's not them, it's me.
No.
That would be hilarious.
No. I have gone as far as picking the raisins out of my bagels.
Oh my God.
If like regular isn't available,
no,
dude. I've gone as far. Like, I don't mind the flavor. I just don't want that weird little lumpy texture in there.
Someone says we need to get Jason a sign. Live, laugh, raisin.
That's really good.
This is another really great good. One. This is for people that watch the show. At Jason's, if you drink from the non-guest coffee mugs and expect carrot raisin salad for every meal. Mm. I have mugs for guests and I have mugs for not guests.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, you want coffee? Go sit down. I'll bring it out. And there's mugs. There's sugar. There's creamer. Whatever you need. There's a spoon. You can stir it. All the shit that you would need for your coffee is right there. Don't touch those mugs over there. Those are mine. And for maybe someone.
Ah, for the hose.
For the hose.
Yeah. I see. Yeah.
I mind it.
Well, yeah, Jason, that's weird. Raisins. You're the only person I've ever met that has volunteered that they enjoy raisins.
It's the truth, dude. I can't fucking lie. I enjoy raisins.
I've never met anybody that enjoyed raisins.
I enjoy raisins, green tea Kit Kats.
Ooh. I didn't like those.
Green tea Kit Kats are the shit.
The Japanese.
I would pay you to smuggle those in.
Mm, no.
Green tea Kit Kats are magical.
Oh, no. Pass.
All right, I'm going to stop torturing you. Thank you, Manila.
Just gotta end with the cringe, huh?
Ask your, you know what? Ask your husband if he knows about carrot raisin salad. He might know it.
Because he's from the South?
He might know, but he's not from like the South South. Kentucky?
No, not that. North Carolina.
North Carolina. He might not know it.
Rural North Carolina.
It. He might know it, but yeah.
Ooh, that does sound like a Southern person thing.
It's I'm telling you, dude, carrot raisin salad is delicious. That raisin, remember the Sun-Made raisin bread when we were little? It came in the red package. That raisin toast. Never,
yes.
Your mom. That was.
And I picked them out of those too.
Damn. Is Manila Lao for no fun?
Like raisins are fun.
Raisins are hella fun.
No, bamboo shoots are fun.
Raisins are fun, dude.
Bamboo shoots.
See, Bruce Carter says we had it in Minnesota too. I'm telling you.
I don't
ask your dude. Ask your dude. Ask your if he might be mad.
He might be hungry.
He's on the phone on this bullshit and just making my goddamn almond flour chicken.
It's true. It's true. True,
fucking
white
around.
Stuff, trad wife shit.
I've been watching trad wife videos all day, looking at you judging. Got me here like my name is Jamont.
The South in him will come out.
Right? You don't want that. You don't want that.
No, it has been fun though, but because we're friends anyway, it makes it easier, obviously, to kind of ramble on.
I hope you had a good time.
I did.
I want to bring you back to talk more. Ridiculous shit. We'll bring you back with more of the crew, so it's even more fun. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in real life.
And, very soon.
Hopefully meeting your whole family. And
I would love it.
Take me out to Laotian food, or since we can't get that, Vietnamese food.
No, we got the Southeast Asian represent over here. Let me.
Other Southeast Asian food.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Good stuff.
Let's do it. No, I'm serious. I've been feeling. I can't get it here.
I'm down. But it's not at Bus Boys and Poets, let me tell you.
Oh, there's food there?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been there.
Okay, you'll see.
I don't want to see. Because you know what else they're not going to have? Carrot raisin salad.
They're not going to have that. And if they had it, they would still charge you $17 for a little cup.
Oh, they can get fucked too.
That's like the number in DC, 17. Everything's $17.
Fucked.
Mm-hmm. I'm waving now. Bye.
Manila, thank you so much. You can find her on Russia Today. That's Manila Chan. It's late where she is. It's midnight where she is. Oh man, all the Southern is going to come out in her husband. And also Jamarl Thomas, if you're watching, I was just fucking with you. Please, I'm not trying to have any funk with you. When I go to DC, it's a peaceful mission, and I cannot have you and Cornel West walking up on me like the tri-lambs at the end of Revenge of the Nerds. Cannot do it. Thank you guys for hanging out with me. No champagne. This is free champagne tonight. If you like what we do here on TIR and you want to make sure we can continue to do this, the more, of course, serious shows, become a patron. You get access to all the champagne rooms. You get to see all this kind of insanity that goes on for hours upon end. Where we also watch videos. We watch no videos with Manila. Manila, a lot of the videos you guys watch here, oh, some of the, I watch those with Manila, and she would be great to bring in a champagne room. We just talk shit. Alexander Herbert hit me up, so he'll be in the champagne room with us next week. It's a good time. $3 a month, $30 for the year. Movie night's got to come up soon this month. We're going to watch another movie. So, again, thank you guys. I'll see you guys on Saturday. The chat, I want to, can I say this? You guys were fucking hilarious today. Jesus Christ. This chat on this show is the reason I do this show. Because I'm going to laugh my ass off on the chat. So thank you guys. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And if you guys know Jamarl Thomas, can you send him a message? Be like, Jason was just fucking around. He doesn't really know you. Like, I don't know that motherfucking guy. See what happens when Tucson isn't here? That's basically what this is. This is Jason unsupervised. So. I'm still reading the fucking chat. It's fucking hilarious, dude. You guys have been hilarious all goddamn night. So thank you. And if you ever make it down to Mexico, I'm not going to give you carrot raisin salad. Even if you ask for it, I won't do it. These people are too mean. Someone says, I hope Jason doesn't encounter any Jamants down in Mexico. There's so many Jamants down here, but it's Jamant. Someone says, you didn't show your pog chaser. No, I didn't. Also, so you guys know, all these fun things that we do on air are massive reasons why, sadly, I can't get on other shows. They just won't take you when you're entertaining like this, I guess. But I want to hear what you guys have to say in the comments about children and kid unfriendly spaces. Are you pro that? Do you think there should be more kid unfriendly spaces? And what does that say when we're trying to actually build something? When we're already eliminating families, right? Someone says, if I come to Mexico, I'm making you a far better dish. Wow. Wow. You guys are so mean. If you come to Mexico, I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to have people over, I think, this weekend for breakfast. Because there's a few things you can't get here. And I'm going to take pictures of their smiling faces and the guest mugs so you can see how nice the guest mugs are. And you'll see my mugs, which are very different than the guest mugs. You've seen them, me hold them on the show. But the guest mugs are gorgeous. Oh. Because they're for the guests. And you can, I'll even take a picture to see the whole table with all the stuff that they have for them. You'd be like, oh, what a gracious host he is. I'm telling you. So I'm gonna, you know what? If these people come through, I'm gonna take pictures so you guys can see. Cause I'm tired of you guys making fun of me. Like all I do is put raisins and fucking everything. What kind of bullshit is that? I just love it in oatmeal and salads. Personally. Kush looks says this is like the movie Elysium, but about mugs. It is, Kush. You gotta know your place. You gotta know where you stand. Nuri Yang says, by the way, am I the only person that thinks carrot raisin salad is the whitest white person food item? So it's funny you say that. So I went to look up videos of people making carrot raisin salad, and I did find some black people making it. So if you look up videos on YouTube, there's more than I thought for such a simple dish, making carrot raisin salad. And there are some very happy black people doing it. They're just grinning the whole time. Drink coffee from Jason's mugs. You're going to find raisins at the bottom of that mug. What if I told you I sometimes get coffee beans and this bean says notes of raisins? Is that the same thing? Is it? Nuri ain't called me a self-hating black. I'll take it. Because I think it's funny. There's nothing wrong with carrot raisin salad. JC says they're grinning because they know some crack is going to try it after watching. Fuck! Was Jesse Lee Peterson making it? Fuck! Oh! This is why I cannot get on bigger shows, dude. Just the roast, dudes. Just the roast. You guys are so mean. Jason uses power move tactics with his pour overs. The whole thing some dudes do with their weapon collections, he does with his beverage domination. God, you guys are just coming after me. Kush looks says, I just looked it up. Carrot raisin salad looks like a gross, messy pizza. Yikes. Whoa. Lula, you have been just coming after me. When are you going to come over for coffee? Huh? You know, I can do it a simple espresso if you like. We can do just a simple espresso. I have no idea where Lula lives. She could live on the other side of the world. I, w-
I want to make carrot raisin salad so bad because MT has literally watched me make it. She's seen me shred the carrots because most of our interactions, we haven't talked too much this week, to be honest. She's been busy, but is her teasing me while I cook as we talk about show stuff. And I don't know why it's just her. No one else. Everybody else. No. I think me and Gene are the only people that will cook on a call. But she definitely makes fun of me when I'm cooking. She's like, you can put raisins? Yep, put raisins in that. Jason switched from the sword collection after his divorce to the much healthier carrot raisin salad. Excellent harm reduction. Someone asked how much are average tacos. They vary, Kushluk. You want to know why they vary? I live on the tourist side of the city, and then there's the not tourist side of the city. And the not tourist side, you could probably get them for like 25, 30 pesos. On the tourist side, sometimes they're like American prices. There's some places like, oh, fuck yourself. Anywhere from 35 to 50. Depending on what's in it. Because you can get lobster here. But yeah, that is sadly the truth. So I try to stay away from the tourist side, but it's literally the side I live on. It's kind of a down point. Yes, vegan black metal chef videos were awesome. Yes, Kushluk, lobster is popular here. I live maybe 10 minutes away from a city called Puerto Nuevo that is like the lobster city, and every restaurant there serves lobster. Remember, I live by the ocean, so it's not that crazy. It's not like I live hella far inland. I live by the ocean. And I had no idea any of this shit existed when I moved here. People are like, you go to the lobster city? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it's just, I wouldn't say it's walkable. It would be a very nice jaunt to go there on a sunny day. Because you'd walk along the ocean the whole way. It would be a very cool walk. I think I told you guys down the street from my house, I walked it. It's a total of 5 miles to go, because I live on the top of this big ass hill. There's a place where they catch the fish. They just, like, you sit at the restaurant and they just go out and they catch a shit ton of fish. And you got that one. That's pretty cool. I haven't eaten there. I just wanted to see it. So I just walked there to see it. And I don't know how expensive it is, because again, I didn't eat there. But what's the difference between Maine lobster and Baja lobster? I would say Maine lobster looks way bigger. The stuff I've seen here is pretty small. Jason asks if the lobster has been housed in a tank with raisins sprinkled. Fuck, you guys are mean. Damn. You guys are so mean. It's fucking hilarious. One guy eats raisins, and it's a crime with you people. Someone on Patreon made these images of raisin ketchup. I couldn't stop laughing. I couldn't fucking stop laughing. I was like, you guys are fucking killing it. Someone says, I had no idea about lobster down there. Yeah, it's like a thing here. People come here for certain kinds of seafood, right? You know, I'm not that far from San Diego. Los Angeles is only about 2.5 hours away. So people do come down here because it's less expensive. Fish tacos. I'm a huge fan of fish tacos. I do make great fish tacos without raisins, by the way. someone says they'll show up at my house to decolonize my palate. Fuck. Instead of draw me like your French pearls, it's feed me like one of your oil rig workers. I will. If you guys come here, we can have a nice dinner party. I've been wanting to do something. Kushluk made me feel bad. He said, when are you ever going to do something in Mexico? And I actually have access to some really cool places we could do an event. I just think it's too far south. And people get so terrified to come down here. So fucking terrified. They act like going to Tijuana is like a war zone. I'm like, have you been to any city in where you guys live? Jason greases his hair with prune juice if I had hair. Dude, you guys are so mean. We must free these taste buds from their oppressors. Damn. You see, I'm still here reading these goddamn comments because they're so fucking funny. Oh, my God. Well, hopefully, as I'm leaving, hopefully this new article comes out in Sublation. that Alex and I wrote. Alfie said it was supposed to come out this Friday, so fingers crossed that drops this Friday. Come as you are, punk and neoliberal leftism. I think you guys are going to dig it. It's a pretty personal, or it's long. It's the preface for Alex and I's book. It's definitely really personal on both of our ends. It's serious as well. There's no jokes in it. Wow. Newer Yank says, mayo is the condiment of white privilege. Jesus. Really? Damn. You guys are mean tonight. You know what's really funny? And all the shit you guys are talking is so right on. This morning, I woke up. And there's these Mexican desserts that sometimes I have for breakfast because I'm a 47-year-old child. And they have raisins in them. It's like these rolls with raisins in it. So, yes, I had raisin-filled food this morning. You guys are making me feel bad now. Thank you, Lula. Lula, are you defending me? I cannot tell if you're defending me or not. What? Kushluk says he takes the raisins out of those things. Why would you take this to the best part of them? Kushluk, tell me, do you warm them up first and put butter on them? Just learn something new. Greaser Jason doesn't carry pocket change, but he'll throw raisins in. Aioli is just upper class mayo. Fuck. So no mayo based anything for Nuri Yank, apparently. Just no mayo-based sauces at all. Oof. Oof. That's rough. That is rough. Upper class mayo. looking to peak a disorder, just saying.
Wow.
Now there's going to be a fight about, can that, I'd rather that be the fight than like kids. Is mayo the condiment of white privilege? I would think Dijon mustard is the condiment of privilege. I mean, it could just be my programming, my Gen X programming from watching Grey Poupon commercials. But I would assume that it was Dijon mustard, because that, I mean, here it's super expensive for Dijon mustard. It might be like $7-$8. I don't know how much it costs. Dijonnaise. Durang says Dijonnaise. Dijon mustard, I would say, or if you have like stone ground mustard, I would think you were a person of privilege. If these things are in your house, I assume you have too much money. Those little snacks, those pretzel snacks with peanut butter in them, and if you have the big tub of them, I assume you have too much money. If all of your cookies are name brand in your house, I assume you have too much money. What are the other signifiers for you guys that someone has too much money? Crush looks at those. Horseradish on a sandwich is the bomb. Sean Moon, you're right. Yeah, Prester knows. The Dijon mustard commercials. Do they have any Grey Poupon? There was a time in my life. I won't say this story. This is a champagne room story. Remind me in the next champagne room to tell this story about Dijon mustard or Grey Poupon. I think it's funny, but I probably shouldn't tell it on the main show. Even though this has gone 3 hours and no one's going to watch 3 hours. I shouldn't tell the story. I won't. Yes, Lula, I agree with you. If you have peppered those cookies, I think you have too much money. If you have a candy dish with Lindt chocolates in it, I assume you have too much money. If you have that in December, I assume that you're trying to be festive in a holiday setting and you're probably having some sort of dinner get together. But if it's April like it is, or May like it is now, and you have that same candy dish filled with fancy chocolates, I assume you're rich. If you have a Keurig and a Nescafe and a coffee maker, I assume you have too much money. What other foods would someone have in their house and you go, that person has too much money? If you have more than one kind of kettle chip in your house, I assume you have too much money. If you have more than one kind of chip in your house, and not that you have children, you have those little bags. But if you have more than one kind of chip at your house of big bags of chips, too much money. If you have multiple kinds of name brand cereal, I assume you have too much money. If you have no regular milk in your house and it's all alternative milks, I assume you have too much money. So what things do you see in someone's house and you go, this person has too much money? Too much. According to New Yankees, they have fucking mustard. Not mustard, mayo in the goddamn refrigerator. But I go a little deeper. A little deeper. So now for real, we have to go. We've been on for 3 hours, dude. If you, yeah, PMC said it. Oat milk next to the almond milk, too much money. Oh, fuck yeah, too much money. Oh, this is a good one. Caleb Green, thank you. Organic dog food. Too much money. Too much money. That's the first thing I'm thinking. I'm like, If you're having taco night at your house and you have those things that the tacos sit in, and you weren't like being cute and got like cheap napkin holders from the dollar store, but you actually have the things, like you went on Amazon to buy the taco holder things, you're loaded. You are loaded in my mind. Too much money. If you have more than one kind of cheese, if you have a big bag of like grated cheese and you have a bag of sliced cheese, I assume you have too much money. And they're different types of cheeses, by the way. Too much money. Someone said if you store dog food in your fridge, you have too much. It's too much money. Way too much money. I've seen what dog. I live somewhere where there's nothing but stray wild dogs. They eat the anything. These two stray dogs. Yes. Quinoa. Yes. Oh, God. If there's quinoa, too much money. If you have the cereal grape nuts at your house, you have too much money. Way too much money. Just in my mind, when these are the signifiers for me, when I, like there's certain things people see, they go, oh, the person has like a MacBook, they have too much money. It's like, no, I've seen people spend like save money for 5 years to get one of those. There's like little things I see, like you have too much money. If you have the metal juicer. You know, if you just need to juice a lime or a lemon, there's the plastic one at the dollar store that works enough. But if you have the metal one, you're rich. You, Jason hates grape nuts because there are no grapes in grape nuts. You are correct. When I became an adult and I could buy my own groceries, I saw that box. I remember the commercials. I was like, this is going to be awesome. And eating a bowl of grape nuts is like eating a bowl of dirty cardboard. It's not very delicious. There's nothing you can put in it for it to be delicious. And if that's what healthy is, then maybe health ain't for me. That device to froth your home latte. Look here, Mercutio. You're getting too fucking personal, okay? I don't have that, actually. But there is a milk frother on my espresso machine. But I want to see this list. I hope you guys make a list. I hope you guys make a list of things that you see in someone's home that make you go, oh, that guy's got too much, or that person's got too much money. Because if we ever have the dinner party, I would love to see you guys just make fun of me. Sean Moon, your teeth are in for a serious workout with grape nut cereal. Sean Moon, grape nut cereal. First of all, where the fuck do they get the name from? That's insulting. What a lie. What a lie. And before I go, why did they raise the price, Kush? You live in Mexico. Tell me why this happened. Why did they raise the price on the Mexican raisin brand 20 pesos? I almost didn't get it. My choices were like, well, in your price range, you can get this box of just sugar. It's just sugar masquerading as cereal. We can get that, and it's not even that big of a box. Or you can pay a little extra and have not all the raisins that you want. And I was like, fuck, dude, this is rough. And I have raisins at the house. The raisins have been asking to come out of the package. Like, Jay, hey, brother, you got us for a reason. Kush looks at Jason. This is a sickness. Me shopping for cereal at 40. I'll be 47 in August. I keep saying that because I forget how old I am sometimes. At 46, I definitely still shop for cereal like a little kid that couldn't get the cereal that he wanted as a kid. I don't know if you guys grew up like that with parents that were like, no, you can't get it. It's just usually out of, you know, you can't afford it. Sugary cereal is fucking expensive. There's a new, what's new for me. I haven't seen it before. Lucky Charms. And it was like chocolate Lucky Charms, but it still had the marshmallows. Which aren't really marshmallows. They're just like these crunchy sugar balls that I effing love. And I was like, chocolate Lucky Charms with the same marshmallow sugar balls. But it was on sale too for 180 pesos. Get the fuck out of here. It's like 10 bucks. Oh, so Sid Nanda says that his Hindu mom offers raisins to God every day for prayer. Can you bring your mom over? And I think Mom Nanda would like carrot raisin salad, and me and Mom Nanda can high five. Kush looks as 180. Yeah, that's like 10 bucks. I looked at it in awe of it, and then I walked away from it. And the cereals here are different than the States. The grocery stores don't really carry a wide array, and I don't know why. Maybe someone from here can tell me why. It's like, oh, culturally, we don't really eat this U.S. bullshit that you try to shove down our throats. And that's fair. But when you go to the Walmart, they have a wider array of cereals, and it's usually cheaper. And I was like, dude, they raised the price of the fucking Mexican Raisin Bran. You know it was cheaper than fucking Raisin Bran? Sean Moon? Sean Moon? The Grape Nuts. The Grape Nuts were cheaper. I almost said to myself, if I get the Grape Nuts, I have the raisins. And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. Also, Sean Moon, you did not tell me if you went and listened to the first two Def Leppard records. High and Dry and On Through the Night.
Because I nut quick.
Did you do that, Sean Moon? I need to know if you listen to those records. They are available gratis on YouTube and Spotify. Did you, And he did, and you didn't do it.
We coming for you, nigga.
Just want you to know that, Sean. I don't even know what color you are. It doesn't matter. I just need you to know that.
We coming for you, nigga.
Because you didn't do that. You had one job. You wanted to get all in the comments about pyromania, about hysteria. And I said, no. Go listen to some pre-Phil Collins Def Leppard. Go listen to some pre-Mutt Lang Def Leppard. Okay? And then you come tell me about who Def Leppard is. It's fucked up. We should do, just because you did that, Sean Moon, we should do a show about Van Halen and ask the question, which era is better? Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth. Open up the phone lines, just let you guys fucking have a war on the phone lines. I'm hurt, Sean Moon. I wonder why I didn't get a message on any social media about, hey, listen to this record, it's not bad. Or, listen to this record, go fuck yourself. I'm upset. If I knew where you lived and it was within in driving distance, I would go to your house and just like John Cusack could say anything. It's the boombox blaring High and Dry by Def Leppard. Great song. Prester John says rocking Black Hole Sun earlier. No shit. I made a Deftones playlist today. I really like the Deftones. A dude I know used to play shows with his band. Great dude, actually. Great dude. We used to hang. He's a great dude. He's still alive. What am I talking about? He's playing the Deftones. And I got to see the footage from the Deftones at Coachella, and he's right. Pretty awesome. But you know, the playlists are available. They're out there. Listen to them, people. Let me know. Sean Moon, There's a Hole in the Earth. Great song. Is it on my Deftones playlist? No. Another challenge for you guys. Make your own Deftones playlist. I have 20. I said top 25 Deftones songs. This is my top 25, and I don't even know if it's my top 25. So many good songs from that band. One of my favorite bands. I got to see them live. Blew me away. One of the best live shows I've ever seen. It was Deftones and Dillinger Escape Plan. One of the best live shows I've ever seen. And I've seen too many live shows to count. I have a friend that named his kid after a Deftones song. Named his kid Minerva. That's a pretty name. None of my kids are named after songs. Fuck that. Look, we've dicked around for 3.5 hours. We can't break the 5-hour record from Beyond the Red Zone. That is definitely a Jason and Drunk Mac thing to do. If you haven't listened to that show, which I think is at least 2.5 hours of some hilarity, because my audio is off. I didn't know. But please check that out. Mercutio says, let's make Deftones playlist for Jason. He says, Deftones playlist for Jason, but only include the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. That sounds like, again, what hell is like to me. Oof. Not the biggest ska fan at all. But I love Fishbone. And I do actually like No Doubt. Let's, you know what? Next Champagne Room. Let's talk a little No Doubt. Let's go No Doubt Deep Cuts. Trapped in a Box. Total Hate, Bradley Knoll. guys. We said, what is this? I leave for one day and this crazy shit in my control panel. I've been on so long, Ben Burgess is watching. He says, I'm totally listening to Ska all the time. I probably listen to Ska more than Ben Burgess would like me to. As someone that has been to my house and knows what it's like to be in my house, it means you wake up in the morning to random music. Could be jazz. Could be classic rock. Could be hip hop. Don't know. Could it be ska? Yep. Could be. But that man just signed up for a whole bunch of fucking specials deep cuts when he comes. Does Ben get the guest mugs? No. He gets the good mugs. He's used all the good mugs. The question is, does he appreciate that he's using the friend mugs? Does he? He's purchasing. He might like the guest mugs are larger. If you are a coffee drinker and you want to drink a lot of coffee, you want the guest mug. They're prettier. They're in this cool little mug holder on the table. Looks all neat. What is the face of Calvinism? I keep wanting to hang up, but you guys keep making me laugh. Also, you guys tell me if you want to see Repo Man for movie night. I just watched Repo Man. I'm going to watch it again. It's definitely going in the book. I slept on that movie. I'm not going to lie. I slept on that movie. And now I'm immersed in it. So give me some ideas for what you guys want to watch for a movie night. Right now, I'm really leaning heavy towards Repo Man because there's a lot in there to unpack, as you people say, that is very relevant to now. And it's definitely very relevant to the book Alex and I are working on. So I'm pretty stoked on that. Christian death metal. Is that... I wish I could play some of that right now. Say no more. You're talking about my personal friends. Shamoon, you want to watch River's Edge? No, man, you'd be too sad to watch River's Edge. That's a sad movie. It's a sad movie. It's good. If I remember correctly, it's a pretty good movie. Is that Keanu's one of his first movies? Oof. You can't watch that unless you tell me there's a friend next to you. A loved one is near you if you're watching that. So I'm serious this time. I'm not lying like the last 8 times I've said this. Let's go. It's late. I want to get into my pajamas. Unlike Manila, I actually have regular pants on. I never do this show in sweatpants. I may have slippers because I'm in my house and I'm not a fucking savage. But I can only do this show in pants. Thank you, guys. And I'll see you guys Saturday in the AM. Also, check out, if you listen to the show Friday, not every Friday, but I did it again, where there's a greatest clips episode and I clipped about 7 shows into one. So for the audio podcast, there's a great clip compilation out there. So check that out as well. And keep an eye out for Alex and I's article in Sublation. And if you're already on Alex's Substack, you already got it. So let me and Alex know what you think. And I am out. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you so much.